Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, July 26th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, authorities say a South Jersey woman admitted to drinking mixed alcoholic beverages and driving around before a crash that killed a firefighter and injured several other first responders early Saturday morning, according to the arrest affidavit. 63-year-old Jacqueline Walker of Little Egg Harbor, New Jersey, is facing vehicular homicide charges in connection with the crash that killed firefighter Thomas Royds on the Schuylkill Expressway in Lower Merion. Police say a Pennsylvania state trooper and fire crews from Belmont Hills Fire Company and Gladwin Fire Company responded to the DUI crash at about 3:15 in the westbound lanes of the Schuylkill near Waverly Road. Sometime after first responders arrived at the scene, authorities say Walker drove her Jeep Grand Cherokee right up on the onto the right shoulder of the highway and crashed into Royds, two other firefighters, and a state police trooper before colliding with the vehicles involved in the initial crash. And that initial crash was a DUI as well.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
You know, years ago, Long Island, Kathy, you know Sunset or Sunrise Highway?
Yes, of course.
And every couple of miles, Preston, on busy intersections, they had a wrecked car that was...
Oh, so you would see.
So you'd see it.
You know...
And it was with the sign reminding... And I think the drunk driving incidents went down dramatically just from that visual thing, yeah.
Yep. You know what, Steve? My cousin was nearly killed on Sunrise Highway. She was crossing on foot, and a car hit her because it's like the boulevard, right? There's lights, but people treat it as if it was a highway. Yeah, right. It's very dangerous.
Hey, I have a question about this accident. When did this take place?
Saturday.
And, I'm curious because I saw a procession for a funeral yesterday.
That was
that the firefighter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was away from the news. I didn't really look and see what happened this weekend. But I saw the procession as I was coming back yesterday.
Yeah. Royds with the Belmont Hills Fire Company was taken by ambulance to Paoli Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries, according to police. The trooper and two firefighters were taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center by medical helicopters and ground ambulance with severe injuries. According to an affidavit of probable cause, Walker exited her vehicle and was seen leaning on the Jeep with her hands on her face, clearly shaken, saying, oh my God. According to authorities, Walker had glassy and bloodshot eyes and an odor of alcohol was detected on her breath. They say that her voice was slurred as she tried to talk. Troopers say she then was seen pouring alcohol out of a cup onto the road. She was taken into custody and gave consent to draw blood. Authorities found an open bottle of rum between the front and back seat of the vehicle. According to the affidavit, Walker admitted to drinking mixed alcoholic beverages behind the wheel of the crash. There were also two other people, one from Pottstown and one from King of Prussia, that were taken into custody at the scene and charged with DUI in reference to that original crash. COVID-19 cases fueled by the Delta variant are soaring in the United States. We're going in the wrong direction, said Dr. Anthony Fauci, describing himself as very frustrated. He said recommending that vaccinated wear masks is under active consideration by the government's leading public health officials. Also, booster shots may be suggested for people with suppressed immune systems who have been vaccinated. Fauci, who also serves as President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, told CNN's State of the Union that he has taken part in conversations about altering the mask guidelines. He noted that some local jurisdictions where infection rates are surging, such as Los Angeles County, have already put a mask order in place regardless of vaccination status. Nearly 163 million people, or 49% of the eligible U.S. population, are vaccinated, according to the CDC data. Fauci said government experts are reviewing early data as they consider whether to recommend the vaccinated individuals to get booster shots. He is also strongly recommending that every American be vaccinated. Hidden cameras were found in several dressing rooms at the King of Prussia Mall. Upper Merion Township Police said on July 3rd they were dispatched to the mall's Hollister store, where a 14-year-old girl found a pen equipped with a tiny camera.
Jeez.
Whoops.
Yeah, police say that she found the pen inside the store's dressing room after she had already tried clothes on. The device was placed at waist level in between the curtain and the divider. Police have accused 26-year-old Joseph Stevenson of Delaware of placing the camera in the dressing room. So listen to this. Officers said that they were able to track Stevenson down after he asked a store employee where his pen went.
Wow. Thank God for stupid people.
Yeah. You mean your camera? It's my camera pen. I use it to spy on underage girls.
Can I have that back?
Yeah, please. Oh my God. Here's my number. over.
You'll have no use for this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just give it to me.
Yeah. Are you a pervert? Oh, I am, so I need it back.
Right.
Stevenson admitted to placing another camera pen inside the Urban Outfitters dressing room at the mall, police said. An employee identified an identical pen while checking on in the store's fitting room. So they found those two. Police said that two young girls were filmed inside the dressing room between 2:20 and 2:55. Police are still trying to contact the other two victims. All the victims from the Hollister store have been contacted. In total, Stevenson is accused of recording 9 victims ranging in age from 13 years old to a 29-year-old woman.
So he was not an employee at any of these places. He was just
sticking it in there.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
The device records video and audio, but because it has a USB drive, police do not think that Stevenson accessed the images. He has been charged with invasion of privacy, interception, disclosure, or use of wire communications and disorderly conduct. He was arraigned on the charges and has been released on $10,000 bail. Further conditions require Stevenson to have no contact with the victims or their families and refrain from visiting any shopping malls. Upper Marion police said you should contact police, security, or store management if you notice anything suspicious when you are at the mall. In sports this morning. Aaron Nola, who stunningly entered with the majors' fifth highest ERA among qualifying starting pitchers, came out shy of pitching his second shutout of the season. He struck out 9, allowed 4 hits, and did not walk a batter in the Phillies' 2-1 win. He threw 116 pitches.
They did it!
The Phillies split their series with the Braves 2-2. They host the Nationals tonight at 7 o'clock. Over the weekend, the Eagles added a cornerback, agreeing to a 1-year deal with veteran Steven Nelson. The deal for Nelson is worth more than $4 million. And at the Olympics, the United States men's gymnastics will seek its first team medal. The team, which includes Brody Malone, Sam McCulloch, Yoel Moldauer, and Shane Wiskus, could also secure the first Olympic medal for 3-time Olympian McCulloch, who is competing in his final games and previously finished as high as 4th individually. The men's gymnastics team final will air tonight on NBC at 8:30. Action returns to the Aquatic Center today on day 3 for the second batch of swimming finals. Medals are on the line for 4 events: the women's 100-meter butterfly, the men's 100-meter breaststroke, women's 400-meter freestyle, and men's 4x100-meter freestyle relay. And yesterday, Katie Ledecky earned a silver medal in the 400-meter freestyle. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kath, and welcome all those returning from the weekend. We are prepared for another day of just hanging out with you and having a good time and bringing some guests and some goodies to you. We're going to start with our new Word of the Week prize. We have the Pizque, or I don't know how to pronounce this
yet.
Pizque.
Oh, the
like
fire pit?
Physique, but with a P. Well, physique has a P in it.
Yeah. It's just a different way of saying it.
What?
But with a Z.
Yeah.
But this is Pizque, so instead of
pretty
PH.
Young thing.
All right, there you go.
It's confusing.
Pretty young thing. So it's a barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. So we're going to give that away for the letter of the day, word of the week prize. We have some guests joining us and in the studio. I'm excited. Mary Lou Henner is coming by today.
Yay. Yep.
We love her.
And you know that she remembers everything about the last time she was in studio.
Yeah, she's got a somewhat of a photographic memory. But she will be at the Bucks County Playhouse for her all-new club act called The Mary Lou Henner Show.
Yeah.
And she's been in tons of great TV shows and movies throughout the year. She's just a delightful, lovely woman who is going to be here around 9 o'clock this morning, which is really cool. We have a show announcement that we're going to make. It's an announcement not about our show. Well, actually, there is a show announcement.
It is. Yes, absolutely.
No, we have another. What I mean is we have another.
Yes.
A show coming to town.
Oh.
That we are making an announcement about.
Okay.
It's not a concert, so I'm not going to do a concert announcement. It's a show announcement. But we also have an announcement about our radio program, too. So we have two kinds of show announcements today. So
well, technically three.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
What?
Two announcements about our show?
Yes.
Yes. One, I don't want to get into the details on that. So anyhow.
Wow.
I'm keeping it at
Let's
one.
Let's just say Pizque.
Pizque, and that's all we need to do.
Pizque, everyone.
So we will get to all that stuff a little bit later on this morning, and we hope that you're going to be along for it. And anything else we have to give away, we will make sure that we have. And we have the deadline today for the Battle of the Self-Proclaimed Experts. Harry Potter is the subject this time around. So if you would like to enter, today is the final day. Nick is going to be the guy who is handling that. He is the most well-versed. He and Nick Murphy, the two Nicks in the world of Harry Potter.
Two Nicks.
So he is going through all of the submissions, which there are plenty, to narrow it down to two people who are going to be in our studio this week on Thursday.
Battle Royale.
So make sure that you get your submission in now. The details are available at PrestonAndSteve.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and the Entertainment Report is on the way when we return. We lost a comedic legend over the weekend, which is sad, so we'll tell you about that, as well as a few other things. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, stupid question. This is a weird one today, all right? So,
I like weird questions.
Question we're going to give away, or the prize we're going to give away, Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery on DVD. And the question I have for you is this. What country experienced a massive demand for tulips known to economists as tulip mania in the 17th century?
Tulip mania in the 17th century.
Okay. 215-263-WMMR. So what country experienced a massive demand for tulips in the 17th century? It was called tulip mania. This is a really weird question. 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. A lot of big birthdays today. A lot of chunky birthdays.
You mean like large people?
Nope. Oh. I mean celebrity status. Oh, it's Mick Jagger's birthday.
Holy hell. Yeah.
On Monday, July 26th.
God, I love this song.
We're going to play this song to represent Mick Jagger.
I saw a picture of him with his son, Preston. To see Mick Jagger with any kids that are his kids and realize they're older adults. He's up there, but you think of him as perpetually young.
Well, and he has spread his seed all
everywhere.
Over the place.
He meets new kids every day.
Yeah. So the great Mick Jagger turns 78 years old today, and I'm certain Pierre will do some stuff today for the world's greatest rock and roll band, as he calls them.
I was thrilled to finally see him a couple years ago at the Link. I wish I had actually seen them about 15 years before that.
Sure.
Not that it wasn't a great show, but it seemed very, you know, by the books.
Yep. So happy birthday to Mick Jagger. It's also Helen Mirren's birthday today.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's sexy.
How sexy a woman. She's 76. Absolutely, man.
She's on a new show that is basically a nature show where they dub over comedy dialogue as if the animals were talking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it works like for the first episode and then it's like, okay, we've already
same joke over and over. Yeah. She's great. She was wonderful in The Queen and just tons of movies throughout her career, but she has stayed in fantastic shape.
She stayed in fantastic shape, and both you and I are a fan of a great movie called Excalibur.
Yes.
Which is, I think, maybe the first time I ever saw her.
She was Morgana in that, and really, really sexy.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, Kathy hates her.
Kathy hates her.
No, I did hate her, remember? And then there were a few movies that she was in.
Was it The Blind Side that turned it for you?
The Blind Side was one of them. The one with Ryan Reynolds.
She's the boss?
Yeah, I kind of liked that one. And then the Blindfold one.
Bird Box.
Yes. I rewatched Bird Box like 4 or 5 months ago, and I enjoyed it.
So they're supposed to be doing a second one.
Okay,
I want that story to continue. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
You know what it was? I think it was
the birds.
No. Not that the reason I disliked her. It started from
Speed.
God, what are you doing?
Your problem was that they left a lot out of the book, right?
So she's 57 today. It's also Kevin Spacey's birthday today. I have a story about him, kind of indirectly in a little bit, that involves the movie American Beauty. So we'll get to that in a little while. But he's returning to acting.
He is. And one of the projects he's returning to acting in actually flirts with this basically molestation stuff.
Wow.
So I'm like, wouldn't you want to stay away from that?
You would think so.
Yeah.
He's 62. Kate Beckinsale has her birthday as well.
She's a fan of ours.
She's 48. She's retweeted us. And
Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah. Isn't that the one?
No.
She's the one.
No. She's the one?
Who's the one? Oh, I thought it was Tom Brady's ex.
Yes.
Bridget Moynihan.
Oh,
Bridget Moynihan.
It's Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, God, that'd be great if Kate Beckinsale did.
Damn it.
I think I have her coming up in entertainment news, too. So, Roger Taylor of Queen turned 72 years old. You know, it wasn't until as of late, like with the movie and all that,
yeah.
that I didn't realize how vocally instrumental he was to the band.
Yes.
As in, like, in Bohemian Rhapsody, he's the super-duper high notes. And
I agree.
Brian May telling us about that when he was here in the studio, and I didn't know any of that.
Well, again, that speaks to the fact, and I think you pointed out a couple years ago, Preston, that every member of the band is responsible for at least
one number one hit. Yeah. Each one of them
had
written a number one hit, at least in the United Kingdom. So Roger Taylor certainly deserved all his praise. He is 72 years old today. Gary Cherone, who is the lead singer of the band Extreme, did one album with Van Halen, which wasn't that great, unfortunately. But I'm telling you what, man, and I say this every year when it's somebody from Extreme's birthday. They were a great band. They were more intense than people realize. They did some concept stuff. Nuno Bettencourt is an unbelievable guitar player.
When this band comes up, a lot of musicians are very reverential.
Yeah, they're real deal. So Gary Cherone's 60 today. It's Jeremy Piven's birthday today as well. Jeremy Piven, that's
10
him.
10 years, man! 10!
What movie is that from?
Gross Point Blank.
Okay. That's it, yes, right.
He turns 56, and sorry, Case. And most recently, we had him on for that film in Delaware County.
It's a local film where he was there.
Last Call.
That's it.
Yeah.
A town's getting gentrified, and they're buying up everything. And small indie film.
Bar.
Yeah.
So he's 56 today. Darlene Love, we were just talking about her.
Hey.
I think on Friday, Thursday, we were talking
standing
about
Standing Lover's birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, my birthday.
Yeah.
Wow, she's 80 years old today, too.
That's great.
I think he turned 80 as well, didn't he?
I don't know.
Thought it was. There were a number of milestone birthdays on Thursday.
Well, when he signed up for that movie, the contract stated that he and his female co-star would have to have the same birthday.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. And that they were both too old for this.
Right,
crap.
Yeah.
She's not a bad actress. There is a moment in that first movie, though, where. They come home, and I think that the daughter has been abducted, and she doesn't know that yet. And Murtaugh and Riggs, they draw their weapons on her.
Yeah.
And so she realizes, oh, crap, some stuff's going on. The kids come out of the bedrooms, and so she goes, get back in your rooms! Back in your rooms!
I was like, a little overacted.
A little overacted. I'm like, oh.
I don't
like,
remember that exact part. But I
can't help it, but I don't know why I...
That's why she wasn't nominated.
Yeah, man.
For that, like that everyone else scene. Was. Gary Busey got a nominee.
Yeah. Dorothy Hamill,
yes.
Who's been here in our studio before.
Yeah.
Figure skater who won the gold medal in the 1976 Olympics, and she was like...
Was she competing against Tina Bevelini?
I don't know if she was against Tina Bevelini or not, was her name. I messed up her name.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Tina Bevelina?
No.
Who's Tina Bevelina?
I messed up her name.
It was a female.
Ty Babylonian. And I called her Tina Bevelina.
Is Tina Bevelina
no,
person?
No, nobody.
There is no person.
Up her name.
So for all these years, I thought Tina Bevelina was somebody.
Oh, no!
I thought you messed it up with good reason. Like, oh, I just
Ty
got Babylonia, her name.
And I was going to call her... I didn't call her it on the air, but I think I called her Tina Bevelina.
Yes, she... right, she was here.
Yeah,
she
was here.
Yeah.
Wait, Dorothy Hamill?
Dorothy Hamill might have been here, too, at that
point. I think they were both here, yeah.
So, anyhow, Dorothy Hamill, 65 years old today. And then the last birthday, a very close relationship with this radio station, and she certainly knows how to rock, Taylor Momsen celebrates her birthday today.
She's great.
From The Pretty Reckless, of course, and we dig her, man.
Yeah.
Grinch. It's funny because when we first started playing Pretty Reckless on MMR, some people didn't like it. They thought she was an actress trying to shoehorn her way into the music industry. Which I think she's got nothing to prove. I think she's a great rocker, man.
So she was on Gossip Girl, right? Yeah. And so she had that whole thing. But yeah, and she's the fact that she works with a whole bunch of other artists who really like what she brings to the sessions says it all.
Well, it's attempted many, many times over the years, yeah, where, you know, there's an actor or actress that, you know, loves to play music and be a musician, tries to cross over, and it doesn't work.
That's what kept Kathy out of the music scene.
But when it does work,
you know she has the chops.
When it does work, it's cool. Like 30 Seconds of Mars is one with Jared Leto. Yeah. Like, you know, people kind of stopped at first, and you're like, okay, wait a second. The music actually is pretty good. I mean, it's no Dog Star, but...
Taylor Momsen is 28 today. By the way, a text came in about Jeremy Piven since his birthday. It says, Jeremy Piven is the first act at the reopening of the Keswick Theater, August 14th. So happy to return to the shows, and that is from Pam at Keswick Coffee in Glenside.
Oh, very nice.
He's right next to, right by the theater.
So there, he's doing stand-up, I guess, right?
His
continuing tour?
So, yeah. So, happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday,
everyone.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this really weird, stupid question, which is what country experienced a massive demand for tulips, known to economists as tulip mania, in the 17th century? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Keegan, see if he can get it right. Hey, Keegan, good morning.
Cousin Larry Appleton.
Yeah!
His name is Cousin Larry Appleton.
Actually, he's saying it wrong, isn't he, Keegan?
Yes, it's Appleton.
Appleton.
But Appleton.
Close enough, Keegan.
The Netherlands.
All right, yeah, the Netherlands. He's right, yes. Holland. Hang on a second. Keegan, we're going to set you up, my man. We have season 3 Star Trek Discovery on DVD. The must-have collection includes deleted scenes, behind the scenes, featurettes, and cast interviews. You can own it on Blu-ray, DVD, and limited edition Steelbook from CBS and Paramount Home Entertainment. By the way, I was seeing Cousin Larry Appleton this weekend because we had some friends at our house.
Yeah.
And we were listening to Hamilton because they were way into it. None of them got the Cousin Larry Appleton thing. I don't think they'll remember.
They're not perfect strangers?
Or not bosom buddies, perfect strangers.
Yeah, the ranks are closing on the perfect strangers fan base, but I'm still a fan.
Yeah, they were probably living their lives.
You know, they're rebooting it.
Without Bronson Pinchot.
All right, well, let me get into the entertainment report. We'll start with the box office. Number one, M. Night Shyamalan's Old took in $16.5 million.
Nice.
For a number one spot in the box office. Then he had Snake Eyes, Black Widow, Space Jam, F9, Escape Room, Tournament of Champions was 6, followed by Boss Baby, Forever Purge, 9 was A Quiet Place 2, and 10 was Road Runner.
Have you seen A Quiet Place 2 yet?
I did. I watched it over the weekend.
Really enjoyed it.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I really liked it.
All right. Angelina Jolie, 1. Brad Pitt, 0. That's the score coming out of this week following a decision to disqualify Judge John Outerkirk from deciding the custody of Pitt and Jolie's 6 children amid their ever-lengthening divorce battle.
It's astonishing that at this point, which we're in a case that has seemed to have gone on for 58 years, that they still haven't worked out who gets the kids and how that's worked out.
Mm-hmm. So he's being dumped for violating, quote, ethical obligations, ruled. Outerkirk previously granted Pitt more time with the 6 kids, but the ruling is void. And a new hearing will be held. A previous court denied Jolie's request to oust Outerkirk. I don't know what he did, but they said he did something.
He was smoking and cursing.
Here you go. Here's what he had to do. So the judges who oversaw the latest hearing noted Outerkirk's failure to make mandatory disclosures about other legal proceedings involving Pitt's legal counseling.
All right.
They said it might cause an objective person aware of all the facts to doubt Outerkirk's impartiality in the case. A spokesperson for Brad said the appeals court ruling was based on a technical procedure issue. The facts haven't changed. There is an extraordinary amount of factual evidence which led the judge and the many experts who testified to reach their clear conclusion about what is in the children's best interest. We will continue to do what's necessary legally based on the detailed findings of what's best for the children.
Oh, man.
So that continues.
What a mess.
Yeah. We're going to talk about a mess. All right, I was maybe not even going to get to this one, but I will, because you talk about a legal mess.
Yes.
The 15-year battle over James Brown's estate has finally been resolved.
Mm. Can you believe this?
As his heirs have reached a settlement agreement. So
remember, he had died, and it took about 8 years to bury him.
Oh, yeah. He stayed on ice for a long time.
Yeah.
So Brown died on Christmas.
He was a Brownsicle.
Christmas Day in 2006. Since then, the singer's many heirs, children, grandchildren, and ex-wife, who was ultimately eliminated as an heir after it was revealed that she was still legally married to someone else when she wed Brown in 2001. They've all fought over the estate, resulting in a dozen lawsuits and legal bickering that tied up the singer's publishing rights and desired charitable endeavors. However, on July 9th, all parties involved reached an agreement over the direction of the estate valued anywhere between $5 and $100 million. That's a big window, right?
Yeah. $5 and $100 million. Do you know who's getting it all? Casey Kasem's widow.
Wow. depending on the perceived value of Brown's publishing and copyright. So the terms of the agreement were not revealed and remain sealed, but the New York Times reports that the settlement is expected to give heirs termination rights over Brown's pre-existing publishing deals, over Brown's 900-song catalog, as well as the focal...
900 songs.
I know. What all's in there?
Why do I believe that it's close? So it's probably not $100 million, but it's more than $5 million.
Yes. Under the terms of the will, he had left the majority of his assets in a trust to establish scholarships to underprivileged children in South Carolina and Georgia. However, the implementation of that trust was delayed by the dispute of the will, which bequeathed very little in terms of money to his heirs. They only inherited Brown's possessions and stage costumes, as well as $2 million to be used solely for his grandchildren's education.
So his kids got a lot of sequin jumpsuits?
I guess so. Yeah, so complicating matters was the marriage to Tommy Ray Hine, who, although the pair were in the process of having marriage and old at the time Brown's death, acted as the singer's widow,
setting up
copyright deals amid the battle over the estate. So it sounds like, you know...
Another one.
They were pulling a fast
one. So you talk about how billable hours for lawyers. Imagine both these cases.
15 years, man. That's unbelievable.
And by the way, the clock starts running if you just pick up the phone and call your lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently that's over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't believe it.
Prince Harry's reported $20 million tell-all memoir deal is just the tip of the iceberg for him and Meghan Markle, according to reports. The Daily Mail says that Harry and Meghan have scored a four-book deal with Penguin Random House. The Mail quotes an impeccably placed source in the publishing industry as saying the final contract was actually for a four-book deal with Harry writing another when his granny died.
Are they going to be the new authors of The Hardy Boys?
That's a lot of work. There were several volumes.
Yeah.
So they said, the Mail's publishing source said he had a very take-it-or-leave-it attitude. Those involved were actually very shocked by his approach, which was to look at them coldly and state his demands at $25 million.
So in the book that he's the $20 million book, he has a ghostwriter as well, yes?
I don't know.
I think that's the case.
I would assume so. You know?
But it's like a legitimate ghost, which is so cool.
he can afford that.
You left out a semicolon.
Page Six sources dispute that, saying nothing is tied to the Queen's death.
Huh.
So Meghan is reportedly set to write a wellness-focused book. She recently published a children's book, The Bench, which hit the New York Times bestseller list, and Harry's memoirs due out in 2022.
So if the royal family wants to combat this, the Queen should write a sex book. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And release it at the same time.
Oh, that'd be the best.
If you really want to get your partner off.
All right, how about this? Sad news in the world of comedy. We had mentioned this earlier. Jackie Mason, rabbi turned comedian whose feisty brand of stand-up comedy led him to Catskills nightclubs, West Coast talk shows, and Broadway stages, has died at the age of 93.
A lot of people didn't get the Jackie Mason thing. It took me a while, you know, initially. I remember I've seen him for years.
Yeah.
And I loved his stuff.
I did too.
Very funny.
Mason died on Saturday. He had been hospitalized for over 2 weeks. I don't have any specifics on why he was in the hospital, but he was 93 years old. He was known for a sharp wit and piercing social commentary, often about being Jewish, men and women, and his own inadequacies. His typical style was amused outrage. He once joked, 80% of married men cheat in America, the rest cheat in Europe. Another Mason line was, politics doesn't make strange bedfellows, marriage does. So it's kind of this Henny Youngman,
right?
Boom, punchline, rapid fire thing. But he was the best, man.
And he could riff too. He could improv. We do have a clip of him doing classic Jackie Mason material.
Different people have a different point of view about the same thing. Like, I never expected to be in show business. I never did. And I don't need this. You think I need this? I got enough money to last me the rest of my life. That's the truth. Unless I want to buy something. matter how much money you make in this country, there's a government here. I don't know if you heard about it. They keep in touch with me. I don't know why. Sometimes I think they depend on me for a living. I told them, don't bother me. I need you. I'll call you. It's enough already. They have a lot of nerve. I say that publicly. Don't get nervous. It's not that I don't love my country. For my country, I would give my life. But my money.
I love how he says noive.
Noive.
Classic. I loved him, too. You know, obviously, we have a clip of him as Krusty's father, you know, which was, I guess, since the beginning, Jackie Mason played Krusty's father.
Yeah, he was the first and only voice, I believe.
Right, right.
Yeah, here we go.
My father was the most respected man in the Lower East Side of Springfield. People would come from miles around to ask his advice.
Rick Krestovsky, should I finish college?
Yes, no one is poor. Except he who lacks knowledge.
Rabbi, should I have another child?
Yes, another child would be a blessing on your house.
Rabbi, should I buy a Chrysler?
Could you rephrase that as an ethical question?
Is it right to buy a Chrysler?
Oh, yes. For great is the car with power steering and Dynaflow suspension.
But him and the jerk. I love him as the gas station owner, Preston.
That's right.
Yeah.
Give him a place to stay.
Right, yeah. Right. It's basically a closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So, you know what? His death was mourned far and wide, as you would imagine. From fellow comedian Gilbert Gottfried, who called him one of the best, to Henry Winkler, who tweeted, "Now you get to make heaven laugh."
Awesome.
Yep. Mason was born Jacob Mazza, the son of a rabbi. His three brothers became rabbis. So did Mason, who at one time had congregations in Pennsylvania and North Carolina.
Isn't that wild?
Comedy eventually proved to be a more persistent calling. He had said, once a person has to feel emotionally barren or empty or frustrated in order to become a comedian, he told the Associated Press in 1987, I don't think the people who feel comfortable or happy are motivated to become comedians. You're searching for something and you're willing to pay a high price to get that attention. He started in show business as a social director at a resort in the Catskills. He was the guy who got everybody up to play Simon Says or Quiz Games or Shuffleboard, and he would tell jokes. And after one season, he was playing clubs throughout the Catskills for better money. He said, no one else knew me, but in the mountains, I was a hit. In 1961, he got his break, an appearance on Steve Allen's weekly television variety show. His success brought him to the Ed Sullivan Show and other programs. But he was banned for 2 years from the Ed Sullivan Show when he allegedly gave the host the finger when Ed Sullivan signaled him to stop to wrap up his act during an appearance. It was in 1964. Was there like breaking news or something?
There was breaking
like
news. They rejoined him and they said he's got like a minute. So he goes, and I believe, as the legend goes, it was his index finger. He was doing this, like a, sort of a jutting the finger up. Here's your minute.
Flipping him off without flipping him off,
right,
maybe?
Right. And so that was, especially with Ed Sullivan, you didn't do that. He always claimed it was not meant that way.
Okay. Mason's act even carried him to Broadway. He put on several one-man shows, including Freshly Squeezed.
Huge hits.
Love Thy Neighbor and The World According to Me, which he received a special Tony Award. He called himself an observer who watched people and learned. From those observations, he said he got his jokes and then tried them out on Friends. On TV, he was a reliable presence. He showed up on shows like We Just Played The Simpsons or 30 Rock. He was a regular on late-night chat shows. He actually performed in front of Queen Elizabeth II. And his show Fearless played London's West End in 2012.
That's pretty wild.
He had a hell of a career. So Jackie Mason, 93 years old and gone. All right, so Maina Suvari is finding her voice. The American Beauty star is opening up about, or in her new book called The Great Peace, a memoir, and in a series of interviews about her journey toward healing after trauma. We touched a little bit on this last week.
You said she'd been abused, sexually abused.
Yeah, exactly. So she's working, said that she is working through her past of being sexually abused and addicted to drugs, in part by changing her present. And she explained that she had got breast implants after being on a shoot where she was given what they call chicken cutlets to make her chest look larger.
Yeah, yeah.
And that she justified her decision to her friend, saying, dresses will fit me better and life can be so much easier, you know, once she has implants.
Right.
So she did. She said that in some ways it was a distraction. She said something I could fill my time with so that I didn't think about everything else. She decided to remove them. She said, I would catch myself so many times realizing I have these bags in my chest. and I didn't have that connection as to why I truly did it. There was a lack of appreciation on my part, so I just sort of felt like, well, who am I and what am I doing? I had gone to this extent, to such extremes, looking for this identity. She also became more aware of the health consequences of breast implants. She said one of the actresses that I worked with at the time shared her experience with her implants and how she almost died, and I was shocked and I was terrified, and I thought, oh, my God, can this happen to me? I don't even know what kind of implant I have. She said, I just felt like I got this place in my life where I was like, I'm ready to just be me.
Weren't we just talking to, we talked to Dorothy about it. She had hers removed, and she had medical issues, extenuating issues because of them.
Mm-hmm. As a result of her trauma, she said that she struggled with feeling unsettled. She said, I was always looking for the answer. I was constantly just looking for this thing that would get me there. If I just get this, then I'm there. Huh? If I do that, then I'm there. So I got surgery. I'm proportioned. Life's good. Everything will be better. Yeah, she said. So she added that she was unable to find her voice and seek the approval of others. She said, I needed someone else to tell me all the time what I could do or what was okay. I was so scared of changing anything. Now, she also spoke about an unusual experience that she had with Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday is today.
Right, yes.
While filming American Beauty, which she thought about following allegations of abuse against him. She told people that to prepare for a scene one day, he brought her into a side room where they laid on a bed very close to one another. She said he was sort of gently holding me. It was very peaceful, but weird and unusual. So nothing crossed the line.
But in context,
it was a little weird for
That's
her.
What Bill did to us. You remember when we first got the job here?
But I truly believe he was being tender.
I think he was. And that's why we haven't brought any HR concerns. But it was nice. He had that cot and we laid down and it felt good. It felt right.
We could ask him about it in a little over an hour. He's going to be coming on the air this morning. We have a special guest appearance of Bill Weston.
Yes.
The Preston and the Steve show.
He's still going to be talking about his one-man show.
Well, I can't wait to find out.
Third leg of the stool.
Yeah.
And how he laid down with you guys.
Where he actually comes out and sits on a three-legged stool.
Yeah, and keeps toppling
over.
And
spins a yarn, Kate Beckinsale, mentioned her. It's her birthday today. Hasn't seen her own daughter for 2 years due to the pandemic.
It's pretty wild.
She said Friday on Live with Kelly and Ryan, I haven't seen my daughter for 2 years because of everything. Also, she said, I went to Canada working, and she couldn't come see me.
Canada has been more shut down.
They've been really tight with it.
Yeah, so, I wonder, I bet you there are a lot of stories like that, especially in her line of work.
Yeah, she said 2 years of not seeing your child is the most preposterous thought. So hopefully going to fix that soon.
Unless they're annoying.
That's true, too.
Like a Rob Kardashian.
Right.
You might look for work in Canada.
Hey, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are no longer keeping their romance under wraps.
Yeah.
After going Instagram official via Leah Remini, J-Lo shared birthday shots of them together, and they were photographed in full makeout mode on their yacht.
Did you see the picture of him patting her ass?
Yeah.
No. His hand was, like, surgically attached to her ass in a series of
pictures. Why would
you?
Yeah. You know? So good on those two.
She's in a full bikini. He's in sort of like a like a wife beater in shorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. 2 months after announcing that he wanted to end their marriage, comedian John Mulaney has filed for divorce officially from Anna Marie Tendler.
Though I don't really know the situation here, I'm kind of sad for her because I think she really wanted to be married and work on it. Right. I don't know, you know. But he's in a different place.
Well, he made the decision reportedly as part of a long-term recovery from substance abuse. And in case I'm sure you've seen and run into people where that can be collateral damage from your addiction problems. What was that movie that Meg Ryan and Andy Garcia were in? Where she was a hardcore alcoholic.
Right, yes.
And in the end, she had to
break it off.
It wasn't going to work. So maybe that's what he's going through. I don't really know.
Who knows? He is coming to town soon, though.
Yes.
I believe he's doing some shows through the Kimmel Center. Might not be at the Kimmel Center, but like Kimmel Center, I don't know how that works.
He's one of the best working as far as classic superior stand-up comedy was the word I was looking for. Yeah,
he's outstanding. All right, and then we have Kevin Connolly. He revealed that he and his one-month-old daughter, Kennedy Cruz,
are the same size.
I was going to say that. They are the same exact height.
No, but they both caught COVID.
Oh! Well, that's sad.
He said on...
now, don't you feel stupid for saying something like that?
foot in
I'm ashamed of you not saying it before I did.
He said on a podcast that he is vaccinated. He believes that helped save him from a worst case of his daughter. He said, there's nothing you can really do for her. She's doing great, though. She's just the congestion part, but the fever is down. So that is at least good news.
Yeah, I mean, like you got the flu vaccine last year, you know, and you got the flu, but you probably got it less than you, you know.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get stacked pretty hard with it.
Well, you know what? Actually, no, I was vaccinated for a different variant.
Oh,
it was the wrong one. I had
it was like the A and B.
I had influenza B is what I had.
See, I always get all the letters.
Man, that kicked me on. That kicked my ass big time. All right, and then one more story. Gangs of London is the latest big UK production to be put on pause amid a rise in COVID cases. The Sky AMC Gangland drama shut down after a crew member tested positive Thursday. This comes after Bridgerton and the House of Dragon suffered the same fate. That is the Game of Thrones prequel.
May I say that I don't care? Listen, you just soldier on because we need new TV. Right? Aren't you enjoying having new shows up and running?
You know, they do say hero a lot
in
these days, and that would be heroic to continue on and give us our TV show.
You mean to tell me Noah has any courage in, was it Westeros? Or what is it?
Yeah, right? Yeah, right? From Westeros, yeah.
I mean, you take on dragons?
Yeah.
Can't fight the sniffles?
We need our stories, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put this in context here.
All right. We are ready for clips. Dr. Lily Houghton.
Lily.
Seeks the aid of Frank Wolf to take her down the Amazon in search of an ancient tree with amazing powers in Jungle Cruise. In this clip, Dwayne Johnson talks about his co-star, Emily Blunt, and why she's perfect for the role.
She's super talented. She's a multi-threat. And we became great friends. I love her. I love her family, John, their kids. We're all one big ohana. And I can't wait for everybody to see her in this movie because she truly is the female version of, and this is saying a lot, but she truly is the female version of Indiana Jones.
Yeah!
So Jungle Cruise comes out in theaters on July 30th. Well, it looks like a fun movie.
It does. Yeah. It's gonna, and I like both them. A Mohana, from what I understand, is a large sucking anus.
Oh, I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they I'm sure they put a Disney spin on it. All right, here's the next clip. A man returns from prison to his high school girlfriend, who is now a single mother of three in Lorelei.
Lorelei.
In this clip, Jenna Malone talks about why she took on the project.
I mean, I thought it was a really beautiful story of a single mother. You know, I think it not only a single mother, but it was a sort of non-biased reclamation film about, you know, what a man has to reclaim and what a woman has to reclaim in the space of preconceived bias of parenting.
Lorelei. I love Jenna Malone.
Yeah.
This comes out.
Lorelei.
Comes out in theaters on July 30th, by the way.
Do you know what she's in that I think is a fun movie? And it's visually, it's great. I never quite understood exactly what it's about, but Sucker Punch.
Yeah,
Zack Snyder's.
The over the top stuff. It's pretty cool. All right, so I had mentioned Jungle Cruise. Casey told me we have two screening passes left to give away for, when is this good for? Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll take callers. Actually, I have more than that.
Really?
I'm going to give away two for now. Callers 7 and 8, 215-263-WMMR. I didn't know there was another page of another 10 of them, so we'll give those away in the next couple days.
That is also, we should probably mention, and people made me aware of it, and I'd forgotten, our interview or our panel with Zack Snyder occurred yesterday.
It did.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Yeah. And I would imagine you can access that, correct?
There's a full YouTube video that's up, and we should get it put up on the site, and it's that whole interview. It was great. It's a great time.
Yep. We're a couple members short. Nick is out. Marissa is out, so we're working with that. But we do have several things taking place when we come back. It's not when we come back right away, but a little bit later on this morning. As I said, Bill Weston is stopping
this
morning. Bill's got an announcement to make, and it's something that we will need your assistance in. And about an hour from now, we'll reveal the details.
He's debuting his line of preserves.
Oh,
and
my
it's
goodness.
Supposed to be really good.
I'm sure they're great. So we'll have that a little bit later on. And actress Mary Lou Henner,
who
we love to death, is going to be here in our studio. And then we have an announcement about a show coming to town that we'll get to. So several things taking place this morning that we want you to be a part of. So hang with us because we'll be back in just a moment.
grab the free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
We had a long weekend this weekend, so stories from the weekend. I think we can begin with a congratulations to our own executive producer, Casey, competed what? In a triathlon this weekend.
The fact that you made it all the way to Tokyo and back.
Yeah. That's huge.
Where was it?
So amazing.
It was just south of Tokyo, Kathy. It wasn't actually in Tokyo proper. No. It was in Wildwood. It was North Wildwood, and
they have them all the time, don't they?
Yeah. So there's this guy named Steve Del Monte, and he is kind of the name in endurance sports right down the shore. So,
okay. And so he organizes these?
He organizes these. He does a great job. When I did a mile swim in the Sunset Lake Bay in Wildwood Crest on the 4th of July, he was the one who put that on.
Oh, that's awesome.
He also does Escape the Cape, which is another one of these triathlons that I want to do where you actually... You jump off of the ferry into, like, the bay in Cape May, and then you do the triathlon from there. But so he put this one on. It started in North Wildwood, and, yeah, I felt
Dude's
really
like
good.
My next-door neighbor, too.
Is he?
Yeah, I haven't met him yet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's a mover and a shaker, so,
And you're a major celebrity, okay. So.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not all that. It's okay. It's
you
all
don't
want
to go
good.
Over there and bring a... A welcome basket to him.
No. But anyway, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this triathlon.
So I felt really good about it. Especially swimming with sharks. I was like super excited to do all of that. And Kathy was just telling us off the air about the amount of sharks that are in the ocean right now.
So
I'm telling you, I have goggles on.
Right.
And I am not paying attention to anything in the water.
Well, like, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. My eyes are open. But like for some reason, I'm able to like obscure or blur my vision. I am not paying it. The only time I'm actually paying attention to what I'm seeing is when I come up for a breath of air.
So it's a mile swim?
No. So
yeah, this isn't the Ironman.
This is an Olympic Ironman or
it's
anything like that.
It's a 10-mile swim.
This is a sprint triathlon. It's like a quarter-mile swim, like 400-meter swim.
That's still pretty damn good, Case.
Yeah.
You deserve a lot of credit.
So we've watched a continuing transformation of Casey as of late, and I just want him to serve as an inspiration to people who may be looking to get a little bit more physical activity in their lives. Now, you got to do it incrementally. You have to start off slow, but starting off slow is how you begin.
Slow and steady, right?
And Casey has continued this and will continue this.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fine. I just the swim part, because you know me and sharks, like and people are amazed.
Can you forget about sharks for a moment?
Yeah.
But and now move on to the you did the swim, and I know you're scared. You do the bay because you think sharks won't get in there, which of course that's where they love
to be. I'm a little easier in the bay.
But real quick, just to frame this, what are the particulars about the distances?
So all right, how much do I swim? Don't you forget the sharks?
Yeah, for a moment. It's a 400-meter swim. So essentially you swim.
And then I just want to jump right in.
400-meter swim, 10-mile bike, and then a 5K.
That's okay. Really good. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really good.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of – if you're not a trained athlete, that's a lot on your body to take on. But you can do it if you take your time.
I'm comfortable in the water, even with sharks.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable on a bike. It's the running that gets me every single time. So I wanted to focus a little bit of my training this year to – so that I could do the 5K without having, because the last time I did this was in 17. I was 40, 45 pounds heavier, and I had to run a minute, walk a minute.
You know what's great, though?
Walk a minute.
Always remind yourself that though it's 5K in miles, you can always like, okay.
Yeah, 3.1.
Yeah, pick what system you want. I ran 5K, but that's still something, especially in light. Daisy chained with all that stuff.
Yeah. So here's the other thing. I entered as a Clydesdale, right? Clydesdale are the
large horses with furry feet.
They're the fuller figured people, right? So Clydesdale is the male, and then they have Athena for women. They didn't put me down as a Clydesdale.
What, an Appaloosa?
No, they just had me as in
Palomino?
Mustang?
They had me in my
Appaloosa. You already said that.
Did we say Appaloosa?
Yeah.
Lipids on Stallion?
they just had me as my gender and age,
dude,
right?
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did the three.
Wow.
And You did a good job. Were you eighth, I believe?
Yeah. So in my age group, for men 44 to 49, I came in eighth place out of 24.
Wow. That's huge.
24.
By the way,
though,
let me back up a minute. Yeah. Clydesdale, isn't that a little?
Yeah.
Not demeaning, but, you know, it's almost like Thornton Mellon with his, my, and our new Hindenburg
line.
Can
I have the contestants competing in the fat pig level? The gazelles just finished, and now we're looking for the fat pig contestants.
I think, Liza, it's you know, like you're...
Strong.
Strong.
Big, yeah, broad.
The big guys.
Yeah. The sloppy jellyfish to the starting line, please.
But here's what's not fair, I think, about Clydesdale is that
they're very strong.
No, the threshold, Steve, is 220 pounds. Doesn't matter how tall you are, so I don't weigh 220 pounds
anymore.
That's
not right, no.
So I don't weigh 220 anymore, but I'm 5'7", right? So, like, how does that compare to somebody who's, like, 6'3", 220? Like, that's not right. That's not
that
right
is
at all.
That's not right.
Case, yeah. I want to let you know that the guy that won the gold in the triathlon yesterday, running was also his, he had a little bit of trouble with the running, but he was still able to get the gold. So you're on your way.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So they run, that's obviously the Olympic triathlon.
Yes.
By the way, somebody that we know texted in and says that you have been motivating him, Casey. Sexy Chewbacca.
Dude, I sold him my bike.
From the World Championship belly flop contest.
Yes.
Says that Casey inspired me on a weight loss journey. As of today, I've lost 120 pounds.
What?
Right?
What?
That's massive.
And how much he actually was at a Wookiee suit store.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. I sold him my old bike and the bike that I bought when I first started cycling, if you want to call it that. Bicycling is
this.
Well, we were bicycling at that time. I consider myself a cyclist now, but I sold him my bike, and I hope he's been riding it. Yeah.
So you finished
eighth overall. But here's what I'm happy with. In the swim portion,
right,
for my category, I came in third.
Right? Excellent.
That's awesome.
You've been in the water all your life.
Yeah, so I had the third fastest swim time for men 44 to 49. I was fifth in the cycling, which I was happy about.
Huge.
That.
Excellent.
But then I was 18th out of 24 in the run. But I ran, right? So the only time I'm not a runner, but I did it. And I also, the last time I did this thing, my 5K, it took me 50 minutes. At this time, I shaved 15 minutes off of my 5K.
And you ran. And you ran so far away.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I see a top five finish for you next year, man.
Well, so it gives me something to shoot for.
Yeah. Listen, you know what? And you feel good. So I like, exercise is a part of every day for me. And if you keep that as a foundation, and I've seen you add things on. And also, you get to enjoy it as well. Well, you guys are down, especially down along the water.
Yeah.
It's like, for Christ's sake, if you can't get motivated to get out and do some stuff there. But whatever, and you're both right, and I know, Kathy, you exercise as well. It's really just the repetition of doing it, regardless of what the results are day to day, or if you feel you had a good workout or whatever, keep at it.
Doing something.
And before you do it, before you know it, it's a ritual, and you're building and getting better.
Yeah, get up and move if you can.
Kathy got
out and engaged in her favorite sport this weekend. She went fishing.
She loves, a lot of people don't know.
She's a sport fisher.
Kathy's sitting here right now with a hat on with lures in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she just loves it, right?
My tackle vest, whatever the hell
it's called. Tackle vest. Here. Well, a lot of times we're in a lengthy conversation or an interview. She's tying a lure. Yeah,
I'm usually doing the lures.
Yep, she's doing the flies. So we got a text from her over the weekend.
Well, so I got a lot of emails about when we talked about this. So we had a conversation about things that you fear that other people don't.
Right.
And mine was fishing. Like, I have a fear of fishing and the hook and people getting hooked, and I can't understand that you'd shove all these people on a boat and start tossing hooks around.
Right.
Like, it just, to me...
Listen, on those...
The party boats?
The boats where it's a fishing excursion and there's like 50 people on a boat and everybody's... some people are going to get hooked. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
No question.
So my worst nightmare came true. Basically, we were in Montauk for the week. It is a huge fishing town. I know I go every year and we talk about it every year. It's just, I mean, they take their fishing poles wherever they go. There's
water everywhere. There's the ocean. There's the sound. There's lakes. There's ponds.
It's a fishing with legitimate, like, hardcore. They go in and drink scotch and have eggs in the morning and go, like, yeah. Real deal.
I mean, there are still some, like, little tiny hole-in-the-wall fishing bars where the guys get off the boats and they come in. They go right in for, like, their $2 beer.
They stink like fish.
They stink like fish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we'll take the kids. We'll watch them, you know, bring the sharks in or whatever, you know, whatever they caught. So the kids were fishing all week. And, of course, you know, every time the fishing pole comes out, I'm like, oh, here we go. I just get, like, tense. And Jace is very careful because he knows that, you know.
It scares you.
I get nervous.
And you're needle phobic.
Yes. Now, my nephew is a whole different story. Yeah. He is, he's younger. He's only 5. And he loves to talk. He literally spoke for 7 straight days. And so as he's out there fishing, he's talking, he's blah, 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 you know, talking, telling stories. And
could you shut up?
No, he's the best. Yeah. He's so cute. But so they were fishing a lot with lures, and the lures are heavy. So, and that you constantly have to be reeling in. So they would cast it out, they'd reel it in, cast it out, reel it. It was just constant. And so he was reeling it in, and his head was turned, and he was talking. And if it comes, when the lure gets in, it'll swing.
It can spring up out of the water,
and it swings because it's heavy.
Yep.
So Jace and I were on the paddleboard out in the sound, and we were pretty far out. Jace was yelling to them on the beach to say hi, and nobody could hear him. That's how far out we were.
That's pretty far because sound carries over the water.
And so all of a sudden we hear like a blood-curdling scream.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I was out there. I was like, I knew it. I knew it was only a matter of time.
Kathy assessed the situation. How can I best help this situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
By rubbing it in.
Steve, I was like, and poor Jace was like, he was on the front of the paddleboard, and he's like, what happened? Is James okay? Meanwhile, we're out in the sound. I was like, I have no idea, but I did know. I knew what had happened because James was fishing, and so he reeled it in. The lure came up, and he had his head turned, and he was talking, and it swung towards his face, and it hooked him right in the forehead.
Oh!
So how far in did it go?
Okay, so I see my brother. I hear the scream. Oh, I see my brother. So now we start paddling back in the shore to go make sure he's okay. And I couldn't see. We were so far out, I couldn't see. Like, I saw my brother bending down to my nephew. I didn't know where the hook was or what had happened. So by the time we got in, he was okay, but it hooked in his forehead. It went right up to, like, where the barb was. My brother said, had it been, like, the teeniest.
Oh, yeah. He would have had to cut it out.
He said we would have had to go on. It would have been an emergency room visit. So fortunately, he was able to pull it out without, any issue.
Pliers.
He took him into the water, kind of washed it off, took him home, sterilized it, all that, and he was okay. And he really only had like a tiny mark on his forehead.
Oh man.
So we were fortunate, but like
they were casting from the beach.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Steve, it's
surf casting
everywhere.
Yeah.
It's at like docks, beaches, like wherever we went. My brother literally took his fishing pole wherever we'd go to dinner, he'd have his fishing pole. It's everywhere.
You know they actually just bring the fish to the table.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you can order those.
So Jace caught a fish and it was big enough to keep, and we brought it home, and my dad filleted it and cut it up. And
what kind of fish was it?
It was no. Case. Hold on. Striped bass.
Striped bass. Okay.
They ate it that night. I mean,
yeah, sure.
It was fresh out of the water. Like it didn't
love
get
that.
Any more fresh than that.
Yeah.
So fortunately, my nephew was okay. But I mean, it was like I was like, I knew it. I knew.
Well,
I knew this was gonna happen.
You had it validated. Yeah. And I'm sure you never let them forget it, right?
No, I didn't, because he's so little. And I mean, but he was right out there the next day with the fishing pole. I was like, oh my god.
You know what though? He probably quieted down for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Shut him up for a bit.
Oh, stop it. He's so cute.
But somebody pointed in is that this will teach him a lesson to pay attention more and less talking. You know, when you have hooks swinging around in the air.
God, that's a standard.
I've been hooked so many times, I couldn't even.
We usually get it. Like, I got it in the webbing between my index finger and my thumb.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A lot of times it was just on my fingers, or elbow or your arm, it's swinging.
It can get bad. Like, had that been in just a tiny bit more, I mean,
do you know
like
what freaks you out? Do you know, so if you ever go behind, a lot of times when you're on a boat, you troll, and a lot of times what you'll use is a thing called an umbrella rig. That would send you into absolute panic, which is multiple hooks on a
Well,
that, so the lures that they were using did have, I mean, they were smaller hooks, but they did have, like, I think it was like three hooks
on each one.
So that was, I mean, listen, and then they were fishing with bait at one point. And I was like, this is much better because they leave the line out there. Like, the, with the lure, it was constant casting, reeling it. Like, I was like, oh my God.
When you were out as far as you were, you were on the board. I mean, are you seeing fish around you at all? To any
extent? We saw a couple of fish, swim by there. I mean, it was, they were doing really well throughout the week. A lot of people were catching. We were talking to some of the fishermen and even the surfers there, and they said the sharks that they've seen and how close into shore they've seen. They said like 5 feet of water. They were the surfers said like on the surfboard and the sharks swimming by them, and they said they didn't know why, but it was way more than they've seen in previous years.
Real quick, I got a text here that goes along with your sources. When I was 3 years old, I was fishing with my dad. He told me to stay on the cooler while I ate. I stood up and turned around, and as my dad cast back, the hook came back, hooked my head, and yanked me forward.
Oh, my God.
We had someone in a boat pick us up and take us to the car to get to the hospital. I can still remember it. I was 3 years old, and he still blames me.
Oh, yeah.
And I still bring it up to him since it was his fault. So it's contention. Wow. Case, you also went on a whale watching.
I did.
What kind of bait were you using?
we were not whale fishing.
Okay.
Do you call that? I guess you call it whaling.
Whaling.
You call it whaling. We weren't whaling. We were just whale watching, and we did it right out of Cape May, like right by the lobster house in Cape May. Unfortunately, we did not see any whales.
Okay.
We did see a ton of dolphin, and that was all. Is it dolphin or dolphins?
Dolph Lundgrens.
We saw Dolph Lundgrens, and that was cool. That was because, you know, you can see the dolphins from the shore, and that's neat. You're like, oh, wow, look at the dolphins, and you see them crest and do whatever they do. And
So actually, where Kathy was off of Montauk, you're very likely to see whales if you do that.
So I don't know how often you see whales outside of Cape May. I know that, Boston, I would love to do like a whale watch out of Boston.
My most success, because I've been on a number of them. I love it. I love to see Preston. You've never seen a whale out in the ocean, but Boston was, I mean, they were all over the place and it was amazing.
I really was hoping.
Amazing and humbling and awe inspiring to see them out there doing what they do, all whaling it up.
But the water was perfect. I mean, it was a calm sea. So I was concerned about that. But, and then seeing the dolphin, like that was, it was really cool. Like, cause you were, and they weren't in captivity because I've seen dolphin shows and stuff like that. Like Great Adventure used to have that. But that, it was neat. And it was only like 2.5 hours. Wasn't too bad. The boat wasn't crowded or anything.
Yeah, you weren't
like that.
Looking forward to going on the boat.
Not really. Well, listen.
Did you have a life vest on?
No. Okay. No. Well, and
did you keep
so,
asking the captain about sharks?
I did not. I didn't go up. Hey, mister.
What about sharks?
I didn't go up to the captain's cockpit, whatever you call that area.
The bridge.
So I didn't go up there at all. But I wasn't. I could see land the whole time. We didn't go super far out.
Then
so
you need to go. Well, they know what they're doing.
And the only
I'm sorry
time
I didn't get to see a whale.
Yeah, the only time I've been out in the Atlantic Ocean twice. First time I got seasick, I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then the second time I was a teenager and we got stuck in a squall. And that was the scaredest I've ever been in my life, right?
Most was scared. The scaredest you've ever been?
Whatever, guys.
It's a scared.
Yeah. I thought I was gonna die.
Whale watching is hit or miss. You know, they go to the areas where they're you know, where they frequent, and if they're not there, they're not there. Hang on,
they all talk too. So like, not the whales, the boats out there.
I'll see you later about 2 p.m.
No, so if there's a fishing boat out there, they'll let them know. Hey, we
got him here. Yeah, right. That's how they do it. It's usually successful.
I want to go to Vinny here. Hi, Vinny. You are on the air. Good morning, sir.
Morning. All I did was get out of the shower.
Of course.
Must be nice and clean. What's up, bud?
So, me and my father have been fishermen for quite some time. I'll be 31. I've been fishing as long as I can remember. We went out one time, and everything was going fine. We were just about to wrap it up. Now we're fishing 10 minutes from home. And my dad draws his rod backwards, brings it forward. I hear a loud snap. I look over him, and there was a sheer panic look on his face for about a split second. And I go, what was that? He goes, nothing. We got to go home. Here to come find out.
Nothing. We got to go home.
Okay. We're leaving the country.
Yeah. He ended up breaking three treble hooks, three pieces of the hook off in the back of his head.
Oh my God. Oh, he broke the hooks in his own head.
Yes.
Did they embed in his skull at all, or
no? Just the deeper tissue, I guess, whatever you have on the top of your head.
Okay.
And the whole time we're driving, he goes, I got a scalpel and I've got pliers. We got to try to get this out because he hates hospitals.
Oh, dad knows my dad, clearly. Okay. Oh, my God.
So I assume because it's a head wound in a shallow part of the scalp that it's bleeding like crazy.
It actually bled when they took everything out. It bled for a second and then it was kind of fine. But so, the more you moved it around, that's when it bled more.
So you guys did it yourself, took it out, or...
Oh, no. My mom was ready to kill him and kill me for trying. She goes, you need to go to the hospital. And so they had to actually cut his head to get the hook out because of the extra trouble, the next notch.
Yeah, Vinny, his panicked look was because he knew what your mother was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, and why did dads insist on that? And, oh, we can do this.
We can fix this.
Yeah, we'll take care of this.
Yeah. I can do a kidney transplant.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so...
Thanks, Vinny.
The thing... So it hooks around. The thing that comes off the hook that makes it harder to...
The lead?
The barb.
The barb? Okay. Yeah. Oh. Do they have... They should make hooks with retractable barbs.
Retractable barbs. Put that on your list of inventions. I don't know. Look up the term.
I'm going to...
Retractable barb. Nick's not here today. Look up retractable fish hook barb or something like that. And see if they make that. Listen, when you get a fish that's good and hooked,
yes.
Sometimes it's really hard to get that hook out.
A lot of people stab themselves trying to remove the hook from a fish.
I've definitely done that. You take, needle nose pliers, try to wear the next thing, you're ripping the fish's mouth apart and you feel all bad.
And I'm apologizing. Could you be a little more gentle, please?
Right.
I'm so
sorry.
Hey, Lou Ferrigno.
But, yeah, I went fishing in the bay a couple of times last year and,
caught a whale.
Well, no. I did catch a shark, though.
Hey, I do want to ask you a question about that. So you and Chuck, you guys rented a boat. You went out and you had pretty much no experience.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And
it was a pontoon boat.
Did you just go out and buy tackle or did you rent the fishing equipment as
No, we brought that stuff with us.
Stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Chuck has some experience.
He has some experience? Okay. Yeah. So he knew what type of lures to use or bait, or were you guys using bait?
Yes. We were
shrimp?
Using... No. We were using squid.
Snickerdoodles.
Okay,
shrimp.
And snickerdoodles.
Snickerdoodles.
I ate all of them. I love those things.
So it looks like there is, and it's all on these like parent websites, but I can't actually find the product.
A retractable hook on a lure?
There's some text coming in say they make barbless hooks, which I got to imagine keeping the hook, that could be a risky proposition. Like you could hook a fish and then lose it pretty easily if there's no barb.
Yeah, and that's part of the deal. Yeah. Have you done any fly fishing, any freshwater?
Yeah, my dad and I had such a great time. He took me on a trip out west and we stopped in Idaho and he had some friends out there. And we went fly fishing. And before we went, he kind of gave me the fundamentals of using a fly rod because there's an art to it.
It is different.
And I had a great time. And I would really like to do that again someday. It was really cool. And so, I did pretty damn good, too.
A friend of mine goes up basically every weekend, gets up at like 4 o'clock on Saturday. It is his zen to me. When I've done it, I agree, Preston.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn if I catch anything. In fact, I prefer just to be out there. It is so awesome.
Yeah, and that whipping motion.
The whipping, the whole damn deal. Yeah.
Slowly, you're getting more line out there, more line out there, and you let it just kind of drift with the current. And if you're wearing, hip waders and stuff, it's just, you're in the water. It's really cool.
And you also build up, if you fish a spot case with any sort of regularity, you know the current, you know where the fish hang out.
Yeah. Right.
You target, and most of the people will release.
So when I was in New Hampshire a couple of summers ago, there just next to the lodge that we were staying at, It was like a place called like Emerald Pond or whatever. And it was crystal clear. It was cold water, but it was crystal clear and you could jump off rocks. And me and my cousin, we went there after we climbed Mount Washington and we were hanging out. We went there to go swim and smoke cigars.
Right.
And so we were doing that. And then some guy showed up with his fly fishing rod and ruined our entire experience because now we can't jump in the water anymore.
You're just about to have a broke back moment.
We, with my cousin, that's...
No,
gross.
You were there already.
We were there already, but
maybe that was his spot, though. Maybe he works that spot. I mean, I understand.
I didn't get the impression that this was his spot because,
okay.
If my memory serves me correctly, he had asked us a couple of questions that made us seem to.
Are think you
that,
lovers?
That he wasn't familiar with the area. No, we're not lovers. We do love each other.
You
we're cousins
up there.
We're cousins, and there is a love there, but is a brotherly,
Steve,
cousinly
you
love.
Sit here and watch for a little while.
I try to watch.
Do you,
the shorter fella, do you wish you could quit the taller fella?
There's nothing sexual.
Hang on. I want to go to... This sounds interesting. I'm going to go to Roger. Hi, Roger. You're on the air.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Rog?
Nothing. I had a very similar story. We were on a small corporate fishing trip. The CEO was a scary guy.
Yes.
A scary guy. And he was fishing and we weren't
like
fishing,
scary meaning saying. Like he's the boss, he's imposing and everybody.
Very.
Yeah. Okay.
Very. And we were just standing there and we were all having cocktails. I think the CEO had one too many. And like you said earlier before when he was reeling in, the lure came out of the water, snapped, and hit my friend Pat in the face and caught him through the cheek. And the CEO is so scary. No one said anything, and the CEO is pulling and pulling.
That no one is stopping him from ripping your friend's cheek off.
We were dumbfounded. Pat had a hold of the steel leader that holds the lure on, and he's pulling and pulling until finally someone said, "Sir." And it made him aware of it.
Oh, my God.
Why did you block my fishing?
Yeah. Was he apologetic?
No, that's not the kind of guy he was.
What a dick!
Yeah. I know that type, by the way. Yeah.
Jesus.
That guy. Wow. Interesting. All right.
It was crazy.
How was the rest of the trip after that?
Uneventful, actually. Trip to the emergency room, but
right,
nice.
Well, that's straight out of Something About Mary.
Totally,
yeah. When he gets caught in the cheek,
yeah. Wow. All right. Well, Kathy, you told them.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
It happened.
Do you like saying that? I told you so.
No. No. Come on.
Of course she does.
But it did shut her nephew up.
But anyhow, well, thank you for your calls. We appreciate it. We do need to take a break. We have Bill Weston and actually our group manager, Joe Bell, is going to be in our studio
Who is
as well.
The subject of a new movie, isn't it?
Joe Bell story. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
So anyhow, we're going to have Bill and Joe in a little bit. They have an announcement to make and something to put out to you, listeners of WMMR and the Press and Steve Show. We're also going to have Mary Lou Henner in our studio, which is really, really cool. And a reminder that the deadline to enter the Battle of the Self-Proclaimed Experts is today.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, the subject.
There are some very, very passionate Harry Potter fans.
We'll get two people in here to battle it out in a matchup of wits. And the deadline to enter is today. By the way, you must be vaccinated to visit the MMR studio. So a heads up on that. We just want to let you know. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. And some bizarre file stories are what we will get to next. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So a little bit later on this morning, we have an announcement, a show coming to town. We're going to get to that closer to 10 a.m. We also have the very lovely and super-duper smart and awesome Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah, she's great.
Who's going to be by here. She's going to be at the Bucks County Playhouse. She has an all-new club act. It's called the Mary Lou Henner Show, and it goes through the 29th through the 15th, so that's exciting. And then we have somebody who we teased that was coming in this morning. I think this deserves the full intro.
Oh, let's do it.
We haven't done this in a little while, but I would like to roll this to welcome our next guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, Damen und Herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our program director, Mr. Bill Weston, is here.
Thank you.
This morning, the man about town.
I thought earlier when you were talking about the ultra smart and charming, you were going to say Bill Weston, and then you said Mary Lou Henner.
Yes, like, yeah, you got screwed out of that one, but you got your full introduction. That's good.
That's nice. I love that.
All right, so we have a couple things to cover here, right?
Yes. Okay. And, number one, nice to have you back.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Everybody's, you know, talking about shark bites and hooks in the forehead. Terrific. I had a former boss who said you have to celebrate success.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to just take a few minutes, and we're going to celebrate success. Because months ago, Laura Lewis, the inimitable Laura Lewis, who works for Beasley Broadcasting, submitted an application, a nomination for an award with the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters. And you imagine how many radio stations are in the state of Pennsylvania every Tom, Dick, and Harry little.
Yeah, 41 million.
Yeah, like 10-watt AM station out in Lake Hart, whatever. She submitted the Camp Out for Hunger for Outstanding Station Event, right? And you guys were selected as the winner.
Right. Thank
you.
Very nice recognition.
I think this might have been actually publicized or announced by the PAB a few weeks ago.
The PAB.
But we got the hardware in. We got the trophy. So we want to present that to you. But before I have Joe do that, I want to mention Eric Simon, our promotions director.
Yes!
He's standing over there.
He's the man.
He is such the man. And Rodney, who is on the technical level, logistical level. Last year when we didn't know if we were even going to have a Camp Out for Hunger because of the COVID restrictions and how are we going to do this, and they figured it out. They rallied their troops and made an amazing Camp Out for Hunger that was a record setter.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Record setting amounts of food and money raised through the Acme program and whatever. Shout out to Bill Burns, too, because the sponsorship program was important, to underwrite this whole thing.
It's everybody. Right? And then that's you want to talk about something that is really a collaborative effort. So we are the names on it, but the truth of the matter is it is a full, you know, throughout effort from everybody here.
Well,
and it's just amazing that it happened the way it did.
And that's why the award is the Outstanding Station Event.
Yes.
You know, and it took everybody to do this.
The name of the award is to the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger, which they recognize what you guys do that week and for the many, many weeks in prior to that.
So, but 2.5 million pounds, and the money was over $1.7 million, just a refresher there.
And it's interesting timing because we are knee-deep in the planning. I mean, it's July. But we've had how many meetings, Eric, about how are we going to do it this year?
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, and it's not just about numbers and amounts and truckloads. It's about how much help you can provide the community, and last year a lot of people needed it.
And don't forget that we had to save the date we threw out there. It's going to be earlier this year. November 1st is when we start that, and it's because of some scheduling things, and we're going to try that out and see how it goes. But November 1st, make sure you mark your calendar for that.
So the name of the award is the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Excellence in Broadcasting Awards. And so I thought that's kind of fitting, and we should celebrate the success of that. So I'm going to have Joe Bell give you the hardware, Mr.
Oh, that's Mr. big.
Preston. Yeah,
okay, it's very nice.
Look, it's got a Briggs & Stratton engine attached
to it. Oh, wow. Yeah.
A very small one, but one nonetheless.
Yeah.
And Steve nailed it. This is a total community effort, and not just within the station. So many volunteers help out. People have really rallied around this, so we did want to present this to you from the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That was the phone number thing on top
of it.
Wow, I've never seen one that color.
That's kind of neat. Thank you so much.
That, the foam rubber award.
It's a beautiful diamond-shaped crystal award, and it says Excellence in Broadcasting Award from the PAB, Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasting, and it says the President Steve Camp Out for Hunger. So we will put this in our trophy case.
And by the way, Laura, ever since Laura started doing all the submissions, we actually started to get traction on things.
Right,
yeah. Somehow. Thank you.
She is the secret sauce.
Yes.
All right. And to that note,
all right,
Laura has somehow finagled the Museum of Broadcast Communications to place your name in nomination for voting on the Radio Hall of Fame.
Wow. How about that? National Radio Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is like the big biggie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's for on-air talent. And
do we have that?
No, you have. You're not there yet. But we're going to get you there.
We were just curious.
Yeah.
It's an annual recognition. They put in like a handful, like four or five announcers. And it could be like the big guys like Wink Martindale.
I know.
Or
when you're talking about.
He was a radio guy.
Sure he was.
But contemporaries, too. And the Preston and Steve Show is nominated in a category that actually allows for a fan vote.
Right. What?
Right.
So,
I just wanted to sound excited.
Yeah. We're not going to put you in the position to tell your fans, hey, vote for us. Because you know what? I want to ask your fans to vote for you because of what you do each and every day. You know, the prep work, the calls, the appearances, everything that you do. We want them to vote for you and not the other way around.
So, well, yes. There's some luminaries in that list.
Here's an easy way to put that out there. And, you know, if we have over the years entertained you, if you've gotten something out of our program and you feel like you've always kind of wanted to return the favor, something like that, you can certainly be motivated to click a link here and vote for us if you feel the need.
We're terrible at because we
vote for us. Like,
yeah. We never announce. Like we never announce ratings. We never because that's not the thing. The fact you know that we are able to do this every morning and be a part of your morning when you listen to the show and all the support that we get. Look, I just did a couple of charity things where people were coming out like crazy to support, like the Camp Out for Hunger, for example. That's the bond. But if you are so inclined to put your vote in for this, that would be very nice as well.
Yeah, I'm this is exciting to me.
So it is.
This is the Radio Hall of Fame. This is a national thing. So
It'd be cool.
I think my parents would be pretty happy if something like that happened. So
your dad might even spring for an occasional hospitalization surgery instead of an at-home surgery.
Yeah, instead of doing home surgeries, yes.
All right. So over the next week, you're going to be hearing announcements on like Pierre's show and Jackson's show asking people to go to the website because we've got a story there and a real easy link for people to vote for Preston and Steve.
Theoretically, the voting is happening right now, right?
It just went active about 7 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? It's a radio.
You're in the lead.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Because Eric and I just voted.
Did you?
All right.
You didn't vote for Sally Jesse Raphael?
Well, it's funny that she's in the category.
She is, yeah.
With us? Against us?
Yes.
And Larry Elder, who's a conservative talk show host who just left his radio show to
He's running for governor
of California. Who else is in there?
Oh, man.
Steven
Van Zandt.
No.
Really?
He's in the same category? He's in the musical category. This is spoken word. I mean, I love the fact that this is a rock and roll morning show.
Right.
But, you know, there's a little bit of music, but a lot of talk that just enrages me and is relevant to so many people.
It's blathering weird. On.
Yeah.
All right. So it's spoken word on-air personality, and you can go to WMMR.com now.
That's right.
Or PrestonSteve.com. Either
one. Kind of cool.
And you can use the keyword hall if you can't find it, and you'll get the information. And voting goes through August 6th. So if you can take a moment to vote, that'd be pretty cool because I think let's make Preston's parents proud.
And in the immortal words of Mayor Daley, vote early. And vote often.
There you go. And vote often.
Can you vote often?
No, you can only vote once.
One vote. Yep, and that's it.
Congratulations, guys. You guys did a terrific job. And to also Marissa and Nick, who are not here today. Yep. Hopefully they're listening.
Again, this is a whole, there are many people within the show. You know, everybody from Connor to Nick Murphy to everybody is all responsible for it. And then obviously the support, everything that, that happens from Beasley and from you, Joe, and from you, Bill, and everybody. So it's represented in that as well.
Yeah, so we're gonna do the work. We want people to vote for you. And maybe because of the work that you do that's represented by that Camp Out for Hunger Award, mm-hmm. you know, because what you do each and every day. So thank you for that.
Well, all right.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are great.
Awesome. Hey!
Love Bill Weston, Joe Bell, hey!
Laura Lewis, Eric Simon, everybody in here. Thank you, guys. And, yeah, the Hall of Fame. That's
pretty That'd cool. be so cool, guys.
Don't you notice that, like, our shoulders go up? And you, because it's nice, and it, but we it's hard to say, hey, vote for us.
No, I know that. But yeah. You know what? And this, I kind of want this. So
yeah. Well, listen, vote for us instead of somebody else.
Yeah, yeah they say.
You
know?
There you go. Bastards. If you're going to vote, don't vote for them. How about that? No.
That should be the campaign slogan.
All right.
Vote for them.
So, spoken word on-air personality, and it's voted by listeners. You get a portion of the vote.
Yes.
So, there are judges involved in this, too. So
judges.
They're probably big Sally Jesse Raphael.
I'm sure they are. Right, Larry well. Jesse Raphael is one of the lead judges.
All right. Let's, you know what? It's quarter after eight. We haven't even done the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. You can join Casey Boy and the MMR Rock and Rollers in the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour, and that is on August 29th. Michelob Ultra is a proud sponsor of the MMR Rock and Rollers. We'll start with this. For weeks, an unknown man has called libraries around the country asking for a specific Supreme Court opinion to be read to him. As the librarians comply, it becomes clear that he is pleasuring himself to the words of the court.
Oh yeah.
But here's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It is always Brady versus Maryland.
What's particularly erotic about that decision?
There are actual Supreme Court opinions with pornography discussed in the facts.
I think you would want boner versus vagina.
Here's the librarian that added their personal experience with a website called The Slippery Gavel. It says, I talked to him. He's absolutely pleasuring himself while you read the court case. He has hit multiple libraries across the country. He's called my library twice and another local library last week. So if you get a blocked number asking you to read Brady versus Maryland wiki article while he, quote, writes it out by hand, hang up, log it, and tell your managers about it.
That's so they can audibly hear him.
Yeah.
Getting off.
Even more bizarrely, this may not be this guy's first rodeo. This is here's another excerpt from the Library Think Tank group on Facebook, and they see a pattern in the recent spate of calls. One person said, does anybody remember the guy who used to call libraries asking for John Grisham titles to be read out loud to him? I was a victim of that 8-plus years ago, and I think he just called again. This time he wanted an entire Wikipedia page read to him, so I'm just forewarning everyone that calling for information on Brady versus Maryland should not be taken seriously.
Do they mention the specifics of that particular?
No. But they said that articles, pornography is mentioned.
Oh, pornography. Yeah, says, all right, there we go.
There are actual Supreme Court opinions with pornography discussed in the facts.
All right, well, there you go.
Get off. So here's another one. It says, we got this call today. Said his computer crashed and wanted to write it down, an article that was read to him. It ended with heavy breathing and lewdness. The librarian hung up.
Off.
Watch out. All right, here's a story. I believe this is out of New Zealand. A group of Gisborne hero grandmothers sprang into action, wielding chairs, handbags, and kicking over tables to fight off two wannabe thieves who tried to rob them of $700 during their bingo night.
Gisborne, did you say?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with that town.
So, never battle old ladies over bingo.
They'll kick your ass.
About 30 women.
That's a bingo.
The oldest of whom was 87 were playing just before 8 p.m. on Friday at the Gisborne Pirates Rugby Club when two thieves in balaclavas and draped in black burst into the game. One of the 67-year-old hero grandmothers who inspired the defense of her and her friend's $700 prize pouch after she flipped over her table in front of a fleeing staff.
You want a piece of me?
Said, we were sitting here playing housey. If you look at Pirates Club rooms, They've got a side door, and they had to go past the table that I'm sitting at, so they go to where the money is. She said, I'm playing, and I'm thinking, who's this idiot running past me? And I thought, oh, hey, he's grabbing money. The lady running the housey, which I guess is what they call bingo.
Right.
She's trying to fight to get him the money back, and he turned around to run back to the door, and I thought to myself, bugger this.
Bugger this.
And that's when I bloody shoved the table I was sitting at right in front of him, and he flipped over. He fell to the ground. A couple of the nannies on the other side were hitting him with their bags. It wasn't until he ran off, and the pouch of money was still there. The 67-year-old describes the two young thieves as clowns who were clothed in army beanies, orange balaclavas, black track pants, and brown hunting hoodies. Elaine Lamont was dealing the housey cards on Friday night and said the two young thieves weren't armed. She said they said nothing. He came in and ran across the room to where my table was, tried to grab the containers that we had our money in. We had to scuffle, trying to pull the containers backwards and forwards with him, but I was determined that he wasn't going to take the money. Lamont said once the running thief was stripped of the prize pouch, the other nannies began throwing plastic chairs at the second man in the doorway, and she said they got away with nothing. The police were notified after they ran away.
There's footage, Preston, of her jumping up a la Black Widow with her legs around his neck.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Once they got around the door, about three or four elderly ladies tried to chase him outside. It was pouring with the rain, and police had their dogs out, and they haven't been caught yet.
Wow.
Unfortunately, one woman did end up with a bloody nose, but
they gave as good as they got.
Absolutely. Well, the woman accused of killing her boyfriend while acting out a movie scene pleaded guilty on Friday. Kalisha Marie Peterson pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter. David Dalton died of a single gunshot wound to the head. Peterson called 911 immediately after shooting him. The judge sentenced her to 8 years in prison. Now, she admitted she had been drinking whiskey, was intoxicated, and a bottle of whiskey was found in the bedroom. Peterson and her boyfriend, 36-year-old David Dalton, were playing out a scene of a movie that involved a gun. She told police that they were acting out a scene from Deadpool.
Yeah.
With a handgun that was loaded.
Do you ever believe these things when they say, acting out a scene, or do you think it's something a lot of times they'll say to cover an intentional murder?
I think sometimes it can certainly happen, but I think you can also use it as an excuse. I wouldn't say every time they're lying, but
no.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's going to jail for 8 years.
If you're reenacting a scene from Legally Blonde, then I would say it was a murder.
All right, and then one last story. A Toronto family's tiny Yorkshire Terrier is being hailed as a hero after rescuing her 10-year-old owner from an attacking coyote.
Yeah, this is cool.
Lily Kwan, who was 10 years old, said that she was walking Macy, her family's 6-year-old Yorkie, when a coyote started to chase him. Lily said that she started to run and had to drop the 10-pound dog's leash because Macy refused to follow. A neighbor's home security camera recorded video as Macy turned to confront the coyote. Lily said she's a super brave dog. I love her so much, and I just thought this tiny dog could protect this huge human being trying to fight off this huge coyote. Macy survived the confrontation and is being treated by a veterinarian for multiple puncture wounds from the coyote's teeth. Lily's family said Macy was transferred to an intensive care when one of the wounds became infected and she developed a fever, but she's expected to make a full recovery.
Clever dog. As the coyote was chasing her, Preston, she painted a fake railroad tunnel against a brick wall.
Oh, and he ran into
it. Yeah.
I could totally see this, man, because my dogs are Yorkies, and Haley, the youngest, the smallest one, she would go toe-to-toe.
They throw down? Yeah.
With a big one. She has no fear. Yeah. All right, and there you go. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Movie screening passes. Casey, we have a movie screening of Jungle Cruise tomorrow night.
Yes.
Wednesday night. And we'll take callers 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. It is at the UA King of Prussia at 7 p.m. And don't forget, it'll be in theaters and on Disney Plus for premiere access on July 30th. You can pick contestwmmr.com. for another chance to win, but we'll take callers 10 and 11, and we'll give you the tickets for Wednesday night, 7 p.m. UA King of Prussia. Coming back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hey, MMR fans. This is Stephanie Pacienza from Bob's Petco Mobile Grooming. Have an unruly pet? We can help you take care of that with our mobile grooming services. Like us on Facebook at Bob's Petco Mobile Grooming or visit us at www.bobspetco.com. We are happy to service your pets in your home or ours and offer pickup and drop-off services. See you soon.
Next message.
This is Nick,
from MEI Catering. With two banquet rooms in Lower Bucks County, we offer great venues, plenty of food options, and outstanding service. If you are planning a special event, go to meicatering.com for some information and call me to discuss details and our flexible pricing. 215-364-2130. WMMR rocks!
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
Last day to be a part of the Battle of Self-Proclaimed Experts. It's Harry Potter, the subject this time around, and there is just a huge treasure trove of material to choose from that.
Magical world.
We're going to execute that on Thursday. And so deadline is today to be entered. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com for they have to be vaccinated to visit the MMR studios. But you got to tell us a little bit about why you're such a an amazing wealth of knowledge when it comes to the Harry Potter universe. So get on that now. We'll do that on Thursday. And also, I just want to reiterate, Bill Weston and Joe Bell were in here, and the President Steve Show has been nominated for the Museum of Broadcast Communications for the Radio Hall of Fame. Woo-hoo! So thank you for that nomination. We do appreciate that. And the category is Spoken Word On-Air Personality, and there is an audience listening aspect to this. So if you'd like to vote, you can do that. Voting just got underway today. And you can go to WMMR.com and place your vote. So real quick, then Casey, yeah, said it was really easy to do, right?
It really is. You just go to WMMR.com, click on the keyword hall, and that'll take you to the page. And, you know, it just the page, you know, you just click on a link to vote. And you see that's Preston Steve's beautiful faces. Click there.
Our faces.
You can opt. It's one of those boxes you have to opt out of emails. Right. So you opt out or opt in if you want to, you know, get emails or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyhow, if you'd like to vote, then go for it. We love it. All right. I noticed a couple of things that I thought were worth bringing up to you guys.
Yes, he's back. The noticer. He spent a long weekend noticing things. A furtive glance down an empty alleyway, across a field, up someone's skirt. He
wait, doesn't excuse
know,
me?
No, forget that last part.
Excuse me?
Anyway. retract that last element. But the noticer notices for you, so you don't have to.
All right. I noticed the Olympics have begun.
Yes, oh, yeah. You noticed
and
that.
You know what I noticed? I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah, neither did I. Oh, not God, one I second.
Finally did last night. Kathy, when did you watch?
I watched last night. I didn't see the opening ceremonies, which I wanted to see.
A lot of people didn't.
It was early. Did they do anything?
Yeah, they ran. Of course, we're dealing, of course, with a time displacement, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
So just to give you a heads up, and what I did notice is that the numbers were at a 33-year low, with 16.7 million viewers down 37% from the opening ceremony of the Rio Olympics and 59% from the London Olympics. These are the opening ceremonies only. So.
Here's why I think this is. I think it's because more and more people are streaming and not watching
cable. It's because they didn't really do anything. There weren't any. Nobody was allowed there.
That's a tremendous part of it. Also, I think, is NBC running a large portion of it on Peacock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the streaming.
I also think it's because of just your choices of
other stuff.
Doing something else.
Yeah.
Because I, listen.
Like getting down.
I appreciate the Olympics, but I am not as passionate about it as I used to be. And so, therefore, I'll catch the recaps. I'll see what happened. Yeah. And if something was really cool, I'll go back and watch a video of that.
Sometimes you,
went, you know,
you weave in and out of your excitement. I think they could benefit from adding Tyra Banks as the host.
Oh, sure.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
No. I love it. I love everything about it.
Do you?
From beginning to end. I actually was mad because I was away on vacation with my family and no one wanted to watch the opening ceremonies. What? I wanted to see what it was all about, if there was anything or what the heck they did. But what I don't like is when there is such a large time difference, you can get the information. Sometimes if you see like the breaking news come in or they release the information
before you actually watch
it. When it airs, because they'll still air the gymnastics, the swimming, the diving at night on NBC, which is what I like to watch. But a lot of times, you know who wins prior to
right.
You know what? Actually, as far as the opening ceremonies go, when I'm excited about the fun ones, I think are the ones that have a lot of entertainers and people like that that are going to be a part of it that I know. Like when they did it in Canada. the Winter Olympics. They had so many great famous, you know, like Michael J. Fox and there were musicians and so on.
You could connect.
Canadians.
Yeah.
And the same with the London ones as well, because you had James Bond, you know, Daniel Craig was doing a bit, and you had, you know, like the Spice Girls reunions and all these kind of fun little things. So I'm into it. Plus, they always do some production-wise. They do really cool things.
The last couple of ones have had some really cool aspects and some things that marred them a little bit. But I think, it is the big thing. And I just think because of the displacement, there's not really an audience there.
But you know what I can't stand? It's throwing me off. But and I know it's, I guess.
That they speak Japanese there?
No, yes. Why can't they just? No. That it says 2020.
Yeah.
Olympics 2020.
But it's a make good.
I wonder how much money they spent to do that.
Well, and everything's
then
printed, right?
And everything's printed. And we're like, well, we just got to.
Right.
We got to go with it.
Yeah, we got to go with it.
Well, I think also that they don't know what's happening in 2021 since they've stayed in suspended animation.
Kathy, what are your top five in order? Your top five.
Oh, so on the Olympics.
Events?
Events in the Olympics.
Fishing?
No, on the Olympics app, you can choose your events.
Oh, really?
So you'll get alerts.
I didn't know that.
So mine would be swimming, diving.
Okay, so that's one, two?
Okay. Oh, in order? Are we doing order? Well, no, diving would be first. Diving, swimming. I don't think these are in order. These are just what I like. Gymnastics. What else? I'd have to, like, look
There's track and field events.
Yeah, track and field, definitely. Okay. Yes, track and field.
The only track and field events I really like are the sprint ones, right? So the 100-meter, the hurdles. Once you get into...
The relay is awesome.
The relay is great. Those are sprints as well. But, like, I can watch all of swimming, all of diving.
Yeah.
Gymnastics, except for I have a hard time watching the balance beam. I can't. And that's what I...
Because you think someone's junk is going to get smashed.
Well, no, because the men don't do that. The women do it.
Well, I guess they have junk, too.
You're right. They have junk. They just don't have dangling junk. Well, some do.
You know what I have a hard time watching as far as gymnastics go? And I love it. All the men's events.
Really?
Like, I would much rather watch the women, even though the men are extremely impressive, for whatever reason, it's not
the
really...
The women are more... There's more choreography. There's more beauty in the flow of movement, I think. But the guys are a lot of strength.
Yes.
And which I find pretty cool. But, Casey, I'm going to guess balance beam, it's too nerve-wracking for you to watch.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And so when I tuned in last night, that was what was on, and I just played Warriors of Friends while it was playing in the background.
Because
I was like, I can't watch it, man.
I'm just not caught up in it, you know, but I know Simone Biles did not do all that well.
No,
right?
She did. She had a lot of...
Very uncharacteristic.
A lot of errors. But she actually, I follow her on Instagram, and she actually reposted a story that somebody had wrote about her that basically said she's human and she made mistakes. There were nerves.
Hey, just because you're the best doesn't mean you're going to hit it every single time.
Like us.
Come on.
We're nominated for the Hall of Fame, but every once in a while you get a stinker show.
But Steve, I was watching swimming last night.
Like every Monday through Friday.
The event that Katie Ledecky was in, that she got the silver medal. Dude, there was a 14-year-old girl in that same event.
It's
the 400-meter freestyle. There's like a 16-year-old. Like, these are kids that are competing against, like, grown men and women. It's
you know,
amazing.
What's funny is because this morning I caught a little bit of the recap on as I was taking a shower, and you can tell that the gymnastics team didn't do as well and some of the other teams when they were saying, well, we got a gold medal in the air rifle competition.
Right, yeah.
Which we did.
Right.
And actually there was one, I think we medaled for the first time ever in fencing, which I think they call foil.
That guy's from our area, right?
I don't know. There was a gold medal.
So there is a fencer from...
Well, there's a lot of people on the teams.
Okay,
so
I know.
I thought it was a woman who won this particular
one. Okay, so there was
But, yeah, so we've got someone locally who's...
Yeah, there's a gentleman from our area. Somebody on the text board said that he would donate $100 to charity if I didn't mention a particular area that I'm very familiar with.
What?
But apparently this guy
Where
is from...
Where he grew up.
Apparently from this guy that's in the Olympics as a fencer is from this area.
Ah, nice.
I can say this. Somebody texted in and said they'll donate $100 to any charity that Casey wants if he doesn't mention Delco for a day.
There you go.
I didn't mention
I said that.
Yes.
So you're still in the clear. Yes. So the numbers were down for the opening ceremony, but there's so many weird factors considered this year, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. So, You saw the guy who was skateboarding, right, who had his earbuds in? Did you see
no,
him?
No, what's that story?
He had his earbuds, and he also had his phone in his pocket as he was skateboarding, and he did, like...
Are they allowed to?
Well, he did, just like he was out at the park, and apparently did very well.
What probably makes him feel comfortable.
Yeah.
In the triathlon case, did you see...
I didn't see the triathlon.
Oh, you didn't see... No. So somebody... I think it was the U.S. guy. I'm almost positive. But he was penalized 15 seconds right at the start because I don't know if it was at the start, but it was because he didn't, in between two of the races, he didn't like put his equipment in a box where it's supposed to go.
Oh,
so I guess he could have gained 15 seconds or something. So then they made him sit and wait, and he was like standing in like a little penalty box.
Oh, wow. I didn't. Wow, that's crazy.
I wonder when our friend Peyton, the BMX rider.
Yeah. The guys went. I did see the guys go last night.
Okay.
I was looking for her.
Okay. Because she's been posting on Instagram and looks just, you talk about teenagers.
Uh-huh.
You know, being in the Olympic Games, she looks so excited to be there.
How soon before there's a baby up on the balance beam?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right, exactly. Walk about a week ago.
But Kath, you had mentioned the triathlon. So there was this woman who was in the Rio Games. She's a cyclist. And did you guys see her wipe out in the Rio Games?
No.
This was, I mean, I'm surprised she didn't die because she was coming around a curve. She just got a little wonky, went over her handlebars, smashed basically like face for, it was almost like a kill move in like Deadpool or something like that. But she ended up coming back, and I think she ended up getting the silver medal in the cycling event here in Tokyo. But
Jesus, never give up. It
is so awful.
Oh, my God.
It was about to turn.
You poor thing.
I'll stick with my
kids. Oh, my God.
Stop.
By the way, here's a text. Says USA men's team for fencing epi is Jake Hoyle.
So they fence with EpiPens?
Well, an epi is that sword.
Oh.
That's what that's called.
How about that?
The awesome story. And so they named the EpiPen after that.
There we go.
So Jake Hoyle is the fencing epi. Awesome story. And Philly Inquirer about him has long hair and a handlebar mustache.
I like that. It's John DiBella.
The women. Yeah, it was the gold was won by a woman in the fencing foil.
So, yeah. What are the, were there any new sports added besides...
There's definitely some new inclusions. And I don't, that's
no.
something I'll, we'll get to it another time.
I'll notice so much.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. When I legitimately notice, then I will pass that along. Speaking of noticing, some other things I noticed. And we're going to stick with, we're going to stick with international stuff for a moment since we were just talking about the Olympics.
The international noticer.
The U.S. Department of State temporarily disabled its online appointment system. As people are scoring, listen to this, emergency passport appointments online, then fraudulently trying to resell them to desperate would-be travelers. They're third-party selling these passport appointments.
Because it's taking so long for people
to get
their
passports.
They took advantage of major delays at passport offices across the country because of COVID-19-related closures and staff reductions.
So
they use bots, automated programs to snatch up appointments, according to the State Department. To address the scheme, the State Department's Bureau of Consular Affairs temporarily disabled the online booking system for urgent travel service this past Wednesday. Appointments scheduled before then will be honored.
So have you ever had to use the urgent traveler?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend Steve.
Yes.
When we were going to go to the Caribbean.
Remember. Yeah.
Yeah, we were taking that trip to Anguilla. And he didn't have a passport, and I had a chance for him to go on the trip with me because Rochelle couldn't. She was pregnant. So he had to fast-track the passport. He had to come. He did it here in Philly like the day before we were going on the trip.
Okay,
and it was a colossal pain in the ass.
And expensive, yes?
I don't remember. I would imagine, yes.
So the new ID, so you get you like
I have that.
I renewed my license, but I sent away to get it renewed, but for some reason I didn't have the option to get the new license.
Yeah, why?
I don't know, and maybe it's because they're so backed up. So I got my regular license now. I have my passport. So that's
yeah, you can use that.
Yeah.
I got the new ID. I figured,
let me see it.
It's not different. It's just got this gold star Ooh. On it. I know. Look at that star.
That man.
So it was a little extra, but it, as far as the process I had to go through, but not by much. But that was.
What'd you do, KOP?
Several months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I went. So anyhow, applicants now need to call the Passport Information Center to schedule or change an appointment. Now,
what do you want?
The change.
We're up to our necks.
The change only impacts appointments at the State Department's 26 passport agencies and centers. It does not impact appointment booking at facilities and post offices, libraries, and other local governments.
I tell you, when there was a motor vehicle setup, a satellite office that used to be in a AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so cool. Like, no one knew about that.
Yeah.
You can go get the stuff. If you can catch those little places that are not the main hub, but a subsidiary, that's great.
Oh, it's like when you could get concert tickets at BossConf.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No one knew. You just walk past the lawn furniture and there's a ticket booth.
Hey, by the way, Preston, Peyton Ridenour is her semifinal, quarterfinals is Thursday morning.
Excellent.
So Thursday, and so it's in Japan. So
it's
going to go. But we'll have those results. So it's like the quarterfinals are on Thursday. Semifinals, if she makes it, will be Friday morning.
Awesome.
And then hopefully before our show is over on Friday, we'll know how she did because the finals are also on Friday.
I'd love to be able to. Now, Nick was our contact, I think, with her, right? When he gets back, he's back tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's see if we can get in touch, just see what her Olympic experience has been like so far. I think it'd be great to talk to somebody who's there.
What's the time difference again?
Oh, man, it's like 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the world. I'm not 100% sure, but it's at least 10.
It is 9:53 p.m. right now.
Okay, so it's full 12 hours.
Yep, close to it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so anyhow, I noticed that, and I noticed something else. Steve, you'll enjoy this.
The noticers noticed something that I'm going to like. I like that. Thank you, noticer.
Do you remember the dating game killer?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I know this.
Prolific serial torture slayer, dubbed the dating game killer, passed away on Saturday while awaiting execution in California.
Are you guys familiar with this story? Because it's one of the legendary serial killer, pop culture, bizarre things.
Dude ended up on the dating game back in the
70s. Yes,
and won.
Yes.
He was selected by the single girl.
So he was 77 years old, died of natural causes. He was sentenced to death in 2010 for 5 slayings in California between 1977 and 79, including that of a 12-year-old girl.
Horrible.
Though authorities estimate he may have killed up to 130 people across the country.
Whoa.
And he was this good-looking guy. He was dark and ominous and scary looking, but he was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
So therefore he made it on to the dating game.
I don't know if I, in post viewing him attaching weird looks, you know, and just saying, would I have thought that had I seen him not knowing what he went on to? But to me, he did have that kind of weird look, you know? Yeah. He was good looking, but there was just something about him.
Alcala received an additional 25 years of life in 2013 after pleading guilty to 2 homicides in New York. He was charged again in 2016 after DNA evidence connected him to the 1977 death of a 28-year-old woman whose remains were found in a remote area of southwest Wyoming. But a prosecutor said Alcala was too ill to face trial in the death of the woman who was 6 months pregnant when she died. So California's death row is in San Quentin near San Francisco. But for years, he had been about 200 miles away in a prison in Cochrane. So investigators said his true victim count may never be known. The mother of 12-year-old Robin Samso testified at his murder trial that a pair of gold ball earrings found in a jewelry pouch in Alcala's storage locker belonged to her daughter.
Interesting.
He claimed that the earrings were his and that a video clip from his 1978 appearance on the dating game shows him wearing the studs nearly a year before she had died. He denied the slayings and cited inconsistencies in witnesses' accounts and descriptions. But California prosecutors said Alcala also took earrings from at least 2 of his adult victims as trophies. 2 of the 4 women were posed nude after their deaths. Oh, this is terrible little detail here. One was raped with a claw hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And
brutal.
All were repeatedly strangled and resuscitated to prolong their agony. So he would choke them out,
bring
them back around, and then do that over and over.
You,
what a psych. psychotic individual.
You're sad to hear he died of natural causes. I wish he could have gotten something a little bit more potent, right? Considering painful. What he visited upon his victims. You bring up a point, though, with the game show thing. Would it be cool to have a Price is Right with prisoners, especially in the first part where they have to run down if they are all chained and manacled?
Yeah, if they have leg irons. They're taking these little baby steps all the way down the contestants'
row. Come on down!
Man, that would be just like the Running Man, though. They get a chance to win their freedom.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Steve, I knew you would find that story interesting and knew who that guy was.
So I watched a bit of the story about him. But I mean, you wonder how many people, Preston. I'm sure there are others, and I know for a fact there are others. People have appeared on national game shows who went on to do nefarious things. I mean, think of all the people that have been on game shows,
right,
on televised game shows since they began.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so. All right, one more thing I noticed, and then we will move
Hitler away. Was on Press Your Luck, by the way.
Mary Lou Henderson in the other room there. Okay, we'll make this quick. All right, how about this? A new survey, this is out of England, of 2,000 British adults, found nearly three-quarters of them, 73%, said that they can't imagine going even one day without looking at a screen.
Oh, my God.
Including things like computers, tablets, phones, and TVs as well.
Well, there's clearly a case now of people being flat out addicted, mm-hmm. you know, to their screens.
My friends would have a weekend with their kids, and it was a screen free weekend, and it would be for the whole family,
right?
Like, not even television, not even to check the news, or
right?
Whatever it is, everything off the entire weekend, and they would do that from time to time, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. That was about it. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Do you think you could do it?
Yeah, I think I could do it.
Would you like it?
I don't think I will do it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I can find some things to do, you know?
I need a ruling on this.
I got out and played a round of golf.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I could read.
Yeah. I need a ruling on this, because when I did my trip in the Grand Canyon, I was on this boat for 8 days, and I did not technically have a... Well, no, I guess technically I did, because...
Taking pictures?
Pictures...
That's a gray area.
And then in the morning and the evenings, I would put my headphones in and just kind of like zen out to music.
I would give you the picture thing, because you're there, you're capturing, you know, and it, look, you don't have to look at the screen.
You can take a bunch of crappy shots,
but you know, that's essentially your window. That's your viewfinder.
Yes.
So
that was fine. It was just amazing, right? I just because you know me, you sit next to me however many hours a week.
We will be in the middle of an intense discussion here on the air in case he's scrolling.
Yeah. A lot of times I'm scrolling to try and find some information.
Sometimes.
Right. Sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Okay. I would say more often than not. I am doing that. But either way.
What's a good word for this word? How about you?
How would you do?
You know what? I could... I do love television, though, you know, so I mean, I to me, that's sort of my and I love movies and I love all that stuff. But oddly enough, when my screen time count comes in at the end of the week from, you know, Apple or whatever, it's usually fairly low. I'm not surgically attached.
Is there a way to look at that at any time to
where your screen time is?
Mine was down yesterday, Kath. I woke up to it yesterday morning and it said my screen time was down. I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Screen time. All activity. From last week, 2 hours and 7 minutes, I think, per day. Is that what that is?
It usually comes in per day.
I was down 20% from last week.
See, I at least have to watch one Aurora Tea Garden mystery on Hallmark with Mary Lou Henner. Because I do love them so much. I do.
I
watch them all the time. Yeah, I'm a fan.
That's what I was wondering last week, like what the hours were. Because I know
they're
my 60 hours.
Minutes.
Shut up. I was wondering how I compared to everybody else. Because I think, I have my phone on me at all times. And, you know, like sometimes I've said before, like I'll catch myself, I'll open it up, and I'm like, you have nothing to do on here. Just close it. Why do you have to open it?
It's so funny because you talk about, like, so somebody in their who's 24 or 25 right now, I was talking to a young lady. I said, does it freak you out? Does it blow your mind that most of kids who are in an age group, say, 12, 13, 14 don't go anywhere near a TV and are watching most of the content that they're watching on a phone,
right?
And it's bizarre.
Okay, so here's something that doesn't I call a no fair on. When it is calculates your screen time, it uses Waze. So if I drive down the shore every weekend and
counts?
Me too.
Are
I have
2
hours and 13 minutes on Waze right there. Yeah. Which means my daily average says 2 hours and 8 minutes.
So I'd peel that off. That's to me that is you're looking at like a heads up display at that point. You're getting data.
Right.
You know, I mean it's like considering your digital speedometer as a screen.
Well, yeah, it would be
that's bogus, man.
But it would be even less then. So that's good.
Yes, no, you're going in the right direction.
See, mine's at like
keep looking at your dashboard.
I was down last week to 3 hours and 12 minutes, which
because you were out and about, you were fishing.
Well, no. It came in last week, so it was like it was the week prior, which I'm glad that it was down.
Do you recall what you were doing that kept you from the screens, or just in general?
No, I think it was just in general. It was down. You know, like once I leave here, I'm like I don't sit, so I'm constantly moving. So it's in my pocket.
A lot of people don't know that you like to go crabbing.
Stop it.
All right, well, anyhow, most of the people that were surveyed said they couldn't imagine going a day, a single day. Try it out. If you have a day, try it out and see how it fits, all right?
Live life.
We need to take a break. I'm looking at beautiful red hair through this window here.
Oh, my God.
As Mary Lou Henner is so excited. We love her to death. She's going to be in here in a moment. So I tell you what, let's take a quick break and come back in a second. She is going to be at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Yay.
All new club act. We'll find all about it in a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shops. This month's band is Dominie. Don't mind all the pictures of your friends. All smiling and some Dominie, your Local Shots Artist of the Month for July.
Check them out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
I can safely say the words that are about to leave my mouth have never been uttered on this show, but I was just dry humped by our next guest.
Yeah!
I saw it.
We would like to welcome, she's got her show at the Bucks County Playhouse starting on Thursday. The amazing, the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented Mary Lou Henner is here.
Oh, my gosh. Please let's explain.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, I'm glad you have the taxi theme up because I was explaining when I walked in the door. I'm so happy to see you guys because I haven't been here for 7 years in studio.
Wow.
The rest has been all on Zoom or, whatever.
Right, right.
And so I was so happy to see you. I said, I'm going to give you the taxi greeting. We did 112 shows. Everybody in the cast, everybody in the crew, we would line up and we'd say good show. And the way we say good show before a show on Friday is we'd hold and
do the drive.
Kind of a dry hump. Good show. Good show. Good show.
Yeah, I got one. We were banging our crotches against each other. She goes, I'm going to give you the taxi. And it was like, okay, sure, whatever. I was like, oh, my God. I love you even more now.
That's hilarious.
It's just the best. Well, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you so much. I love it here. It's
and
so special.
Were you at the Bucks County Playhouse last time you were here?
Yes, I was. Yes. Yeah, in 2014. I was there for the in September 21st of 2019 for their gala. Tony Danza was performing.
I didn't come
and see you guys.
Well, this is a perfect vehicle, and I was saying this before we went on to you. It is the Mary Lou Henner Show, and it is sort of a review, but it's also autobiographical.
Yes.
You have so much that sits in the wheelhouse of pop culture that we have loved. I mean, we're just going through some of your movies, TV shows. You've had a really, really successful life, professionally, but then also you have a very fun just general life. You've had a couple of husbands, and
three. Yeah, I'm on my third and final.
Third and final. But you, the way you relay the stories, your ability to tell a story and weave, a narrative is great. So when did you finally decide, okay, I'm going to do something that's going to be a stage show that's an examination of my life?
Well, I kind of teased it a few years ago because I did an AIDS benefit in San Francisco and I did a number and somebody said, you should put a club act together. I was like, oh, really? No. So I did a little bit of it and then I sort of dropped it. And then I did it last year in 2020, March 4th.
Right.
The only imperative command in the entire calendar, and I wanted people to remember.
Right.
So I did it at 54 below, and I, as I said when I was there a week and a half ago, I said, who knew that I was Carol Lindley singing The Morning After on the Poseidon? Because that's what, a week later, we were in lockdown.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff seems to be frozen in time. Now, you that's your entire life that you can remember things like this. But I think if, you know, a lot of people kind of think they remember things. You've got that memory that we've talked about many times. So what you're seeing when we see this show is your very lucid memories of your entire life.
Oh, yeah. So, and I throw dates around, and I even do a song about having this kind of memory.
Which is a superior autobiographical memory.
It's called Highly Superior.
Okay.
H-Sam.
Highly Superior.
No, because the song is called H-Sam.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So let me ask you, when you have that ability to remember so much, and you're looking for content for a show, the big issue is going to be editing, right?
Right, of course, of course. So you pick the highlights of your life and, you know, what's really important. And, you know, the husbands get a song. I mean, the husband...
the husbands get a song.
Each one of them gets some kind of song. Well, the second one is the father of my children, and they get a song. So,
okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, I talk about Dancing with the Stars, and I talk about, you know, just everything. Taxi, doing Chicago, Grease. I was in the original company in Chicago.
We talked about that. The Absolute Original with Tony. And you, with John Travolta, and you were
that was the first national company.
The first national company.
Yeah, no, I did it in Chicago when I was in high school because a friend of mine from community theater called me up one day and he said, "Hanner, I've written the show, may never get off the ground. We're going to perform it in a converted trolley barn. It's about the kids I went to high school with, even though you're 10 and a half years younger. You always reminded me of one of those girls, and it's called Grease." And we showed up for the first rehearsal, and there were two stacks of paper about 12 inches high. The first one was scene. So it was like, let's read the book report scene, the polio shot scene, the rumble scene, the pajama party scene. And the second stack of, you know, 12 inches high was songs.
Wow.
57 songs in the first act alone.
57 songs?
57 songs, but they got rid of most of them.
Yeah. Right.
Because the show in Chicago was really gritty, really dark.
Filthy, right?
My mother would not come to see it because I said F you in it seven times, just as my character.
Wow.
And I said it maybe less than any other character. She didn't care if I took my clothes off, but she didn't want me to swear.
No cursing.
No cursing. So she came to see me when I was in Indianapolis in the national company. National company.
With a show like that, obviously it was much bigger when it started off on paper and then you start to work it out. Your show is not as big of production, but... Did you still have to start with something bigger and whittle it down and whittle it down and work on it?
Well, I sort of adjusted for each venue, and because there's an intermission in this one, because on the deck there's five different cocktails based on the show.
Oh.
There's like a cherry gin Roxy. Yeah. There's a Roxy drink.
From Chicago?
Yes. Yep. There's a taxi drink, a Roxy drink. There's a an evening shade drink. There's, you know, a Grease drink. And so,
that's,
you know,
great.
I just went through all the different liquors in the well and just named drinks, found, you know, the right liquor to match up with. There's a memory margarita.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I assume it works the opposite.
Yeah, you're right. But there are blueberries in it. It's like
eliminates the whole
flavor.
Thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's very cool to do this and to have this sort of review style thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you've written a number of books and so on and so forth. Do you ever see your jumping in again and doing, because you keep living, thank God, and doing another sort of chronicling of things from your past, because you, in this very unique position, can remember so much and commit so much to paper. Would you, you know, do
you mean write another book?
Another full autobiography.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I, you know, the last autobiography I wrote.
You've lived a little bit more,
husband. Yeah, but I wrote a book with him called Changing Normal, How to Help My Husband Beat Cancer. So, because when we first got together, he was diagnosed with two cancers.
Right.
And we had known each other in college. He was my roommate's boyfriend. The girlfriend code. Is, you know, I think after 25 years, you're allowed now.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, two decades plus, you're good.
You're good. So anyway, we got together, but then 2 months into our relationship, he was diagnosed with one cancer, bladder cancer, stage 2-3, and then lung cancer.
Jeez.
And so, you know, we wrote a book about it. So, you know, and I'm working on a book right now, so I'm still writing.
When did you made the, you have the exercise and also your diet. I think you gave up, when did you give up dairy? You gave it years ago,
right? August 15th, 1979. It was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday.
And that's considered my health birthday. I always think of that day.
So what had you been doing research, or what prompted that cold turkey approach?
I always say people are turkeys or wieners.
Right.
They either have to go cold turkey or they have to wean them.
So. Right, yeah.
But my parents.
I like that.
It's true. My parents passed away very young. My father died at 52 of a heart attack. I found myself eating my feelings, putting on a lot of weight. Then my mother took ill with arthritis because just the stress of my father's death, just full-blown rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, my goodness.
She changed so much, just like overnight.
That's miserable.
Like within 2 years. Horrible. Yeah. Oh, and she was a dancing teacher. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah.
How both of my parents passed away. But she was 58 when she died. And I had said to myself, if she gets out of this hospital when she was really suffering, I said, I'm going to learn everything I can about the human body and change her life.
Right.
Or I'm going to, if she passes away, learn everything I can about the human body and change my brothers and sisters' lives and my life. And I did.
I mean, you're a walking, you look fantastic.
You do.
You're in great shape.
I was so excited that I was coming here today that I got like 2.5 hours sleep.
Oh,
thanks,
God.
Guys. I'm not going to be able to sing today.
For that also, when you start to make, so many people have things that are sort of these elusive issues. There's a pain here. There's a this. There's a that. People go and try to find out what they're allergic to, and they get this. All of these things, and in all the you break an arm, you put a cast on it. But sometimes there are these elusive issues.
Yes.
How did you approach taking care of yourself and knocking off the issues that were pernicious for you?
Well, I think any kind of health journey is like 2 steps forward, 3 steps back, 5 steps forward, 3 steps. You're always like in this journey. And I started with arthritis and heart attacks, and I tried to find what would be better foods. But I call it learn to love the food that loves you.
Yeah.
I found out dairy products do not love me. As much as I was addicted to them and craved them, like an alcoholic craves liquor, I craved dairy. And that was a sign. So there were just different things. I experimented on myself for several years before I felt like, this is what's working for me. And then I was helping other people. But it's always a process.
That's an interesting phrase. Learn to love the foods that love. Because you can, if you spend some time with something that you haven't really appreciated, you can gain a taste for it, and
you start to feel better.
Yeah,
try your other food. Like I would be on one kind of path in Los Angeles, but then I'd go home to visit my family in Chicago, and it's like, oh yeah, bring on the Uno's pizza,
right.
And then I'd be like, oh my God, I can't, can't move.
But you're going to incur that if you, but that's part of the deal. And sometimes,
yes, and then you give it up.
You got to give a treat now and then. But what you said is exactly true, also, because I was never like now I'm a Mediterranean diet. I love it. I mean that to me,
very similar,
and that used to be something that I would never be into, but you obviously know your taste will change throughout life.
They do, and that's
part of the deal.
Yeah, it changes your cravings and everything else. Change your taste, change your life. It really does.
Tell us some more about your mother, because your mother's such an interesting character.
She was a character. My father called her the majority of one. she would. We went to Catholic school, and on Wednesday the public school kids would come in. Right, so my mother had this thing about, the Catholic school kids, the public's kids. And then she would say, oh, no, that's for the public's, or something like that. She was like a real character.
Yeah,
not
to
say anything against people from public school.
Right, yeah.
It was just in our neighborhood. The Catholic school was just,
yeah.
It was right next door.
Right.
We had backstage passes to Catholicism. my mother not only ran a dancing school in our backyard with 200 students between the ages of 2 and 80, including the nuns who came over for stretch classes.
Did I hear correctly? Your mother would take the nuns
bra shopping? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did you read my script? Because this is all in my show. My mother would take the nuns bra shopping at Vassarette, because there was a factory right nearby. So she'd take them bra shopping, and she'd come home with these like demi cup black lace bras for us. And it's like, Mom, I'm 10. I haven't developed yet. No, you'll grow into it. You'll grow into it. She was a character. She was always a little bit late for mass, because she would make an entrance with her high heels and her hat and everything else. My mother had like this Barbie doll figure after even 6 kids, and she was just an amazing woman. That's why for her to like suffer the way she did with rheumatoid arthritis is horrible.
I can sort of commiserate, because my mother was always in fantastic shape. She won a beauty pageant when she was pregnant with my older brother. And every time I go out with her, like shopping or whatever, people would report back to my girlfriend that I was cheating on her. I'd be with my mother. But she was a character that way.
Character.
And the influence, is that is a unique, wonderful relationship.
It is. It's really special.
But Mary Lou, you can pass from arthritis. That can,
oh, yeah,
that can be
the upper vertebrae.
I did not know that.
What happened was the upper vertebrae of her spine disintegrated, shifted out of position, and made her paralyzed from the neck down.
Wow. Oh, my God. Whoa.
So my mom was teaching dancing in December, went to bed with the flu in January, brutal Chicago winter, so they put her in the hospital in February. She had her leg amputated in April, and she died in May.
Oh, my God.
From all the infection and from the lack of circulation. She was put on this, like, hamster wheel thing with two holes drilled in her head, and, you know, the weights and stuff, and... And she had, like, she was hooked up to 13 things. But let me tell you something. Watching her suffer in the hospital, I had this epiphany of, like, whatever they tried to do to her, her body would try to rally.
Yeah.
And I thought, can you imagine if you do the right thing? If you're not, like, taking something away, if you do the right thing for your body, how much your body will rally.
Yeah. Do you still dance? You still
Oh, yeah. I'm dancing in the show, babe. Yeah. I've got two dancers from Broadway who are fantastic, and they're throwing me around. And I did Dancing with the Stars a few years ago, you know, so got thrown around then, too.
Well, let me, so again, and this is just a tease, and we're just, obviously, you got to go see the show if you want to
Oh, it's so much fun. Everybody has, and you know what else I'm doing?
What?
I have this thing. I have a fishbowl in the lobby, and people can put a date and a year, and I will pull it out at random. Beginning of the second act, I'll tell them what day of the week it was, what I was doing,
my gosh.
And what song was popular at the time.
Well, can I give you a date?
Yeah, sure. So that Let's type see. Of thing doesn't bother you? Because I was hesitant to, you know, like, to, you know, do your...
It depends.
Show
it depends.
Show,
I don't know. Because you know what they do sometimes is they show me a picture, and they'll say, oh, this was... And I go, no, that's not when it was. You know, or I'll tell them when it was.
Oh, wow.
Because it's when it was posted rather than...
Yes, right,
like 3 months after.
And it'll throw you off. Hey, listen, you're phenomenal.
Let's see.
July 20th, 1969.
Oh!
What?
Okay. See, I know why you're
asking. I saw this clip floating
around.
Isn't
that hilarious? Okay.
All right.
Bob Costas asked me the exact same thing. It was the night of the moonwalk, and I said to Bob, like, no, somebody told you. And he said, no, what? And I said, no, come on, you know. And he said, no, really. And I said, okay, I was in Chicago. He said, oh, there's a story. And I said, okay, that's the night I lost my virginity. Standing up in a shower.
Oh!
He was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
So it became, like, the most famous clip. It was, you know, he compared it to, like, Ed Ames with the tomahawks and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something.
Crazy. But I know the song. You know the song?
Okay, go ahead.
Believe
it
or not, the song that was popular, Lay Lady Lay.
Oh, my goodness. It's a great song.
Bob Dylan. That's hilarious. And that you lost your virginity in Lay Lady Lay.
I know. Oh, it was the popular song at that time.
Preston, we love Mary Lou so much that I'm going to put that neck and neck with the moon landing.
Yeah, right. And standing up in the shower as your first time.
Okay, Catholic schoolgirls, you know, we do all kinds of things because that's the venial sin. I mean, penetration's the moral, so we have to wait for that. But sometimes you're already taking showers with people, you know, whatever.
I know. There are gray areas.
Yeah.
You
gray
negotiate.
Area. There's the venial sin gray area.
All right, so July 4th, 1975.
July 4th, 75. Okay, so July 4th. 1975 was a Friday.
Yes, it was.
Yes. And I was in New York City at the time, July 4th, and, you know, saw fireworks and everything else. And I was in the show Grease at the time.
How about the most popular song of that time?
Dancing Queen was very popular.
During
that whole section. ABBA. Dancing Queen. Yeah, 75.
Was that your birthday?
And
that was the day I was born.
Yeah. Oh, did you know that you were born on... did you know that you were born on a Friday?
I did. Okay. I did. So, and the interesting thing about my birthday is my birthday falls on the same day of the week as, so every year, like, you know, my birthday, my niece's birthday, my daughter's birthday always fall on the same day of the week.
Oh, so you're, like, relative apart.
It's an amazing thing. Now, you had, and I was reading about this, you had the scans done of your brain.
Oh, yeah.
300 scans, right?
300. Well, no, not 300. One scan, but it was 300 measurements.
300 measurements.
Yeah, 300 measurements. Well, they've done a few. I've actually had, like, five scans. But the first one, they wire you, put you through an MRI, take 300 measurements. They found 9 areas 10 times larger than the normal brain.
And is the assumption that these are the areas that imbue you with this ability?
Yes, because the other people that test for HSAM, we all over-indexed in certain areas. Like we followed because they had like a pool of, like, I don't know, 200, at least 300 people. And so they just watched how we all moved along these charts exactly the same.
That's amazing.
Way.
Does that translate to, you know, scripts? Like giving you a book and you can, you know, just...
Well, that's two-dimensional, okay. And that's different. So that's more like photographic memory, which okay. This is part of, but it's more experiential. Like, I'll remember when I read a book, what the characters reminded me of. It's not like I can, like, blindly repeat.
Right. Did you ever see the movie Dreamcatcher by any chance? Uh-uh. It's a Stephen King, and they did... A depiction of someone having memories opening up. And it's basically like a large library with different floors with catalogs. That,
oh, so, and I, it feels I, like that. I bound it in,
or there's the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind.
I didn't see that either, but everybody just goes, oh.
That's, it's like when I think of your ability to do that, I think of filing memories that way, and it sort of makes sense because
it's
hard for us to understand it.
I know. Yeah. That's why I'm on my third and final husband. Believe me. Yeah.
By the way, tickets are available for the Mary Lou Henner Show at Bucks County Playhouse. You can go to bcptheater.org/Mary Lou. You can go to PrestonSteve.com. We'll have a link there. What's the downside to having that ability, or is there?
No, I there's no downside. The only downside, let's say, is that... doing Dancing with the Stars with a partner who constantly changed things.
Yes.
So I do the choreography. And go, what are you doing? I said, oh, yeah, that was Tuesday when you first taught me. So it became embedded. You know what I mean?
So the harder part is adapting incrementally as people are throwing new
things.
Well,
I can't let it seep in.
You can't forget on out.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it last time you were here, is that you also can... with clarity, recall every very painful moment in your life.
Oh, well, everybody can, because memory's tied to adrenaline.
Mm. Right.
So you remember the highs and the lows. You remember being embarrassed or the first kiss or something.
Do you think we lose a percent? So would you say, and it'd be hard for you because you've always had this, but from, like, I remember the death of my mother's death.
Mm, yeah.
Do you think I remember it as fully as, say, you would? Or in other words, would abilities cross? Would we be similar at that point for really
probably
profound?
Probably for something that is that strong. But right. I would probably remember, you know, weeks before,
right.
You know, in ways that were just as, that were like equal.
Do you take pictures when you go on a vacation? Or because you can remember things?
I don't take as many. Well, first of all, I have a sister who's a photographer. And I have a son who's always taking pictures.
You're covered.
You know, I'm covered. So I take other pictures. But that's funny. You're bringing up pictures because people always say, what's a good way to remember? How can I improve my memory?
Right.
Well, first of all, I'm sad because most people remember only 8 to 11 events during any given year,
right.
Which is what?
Yeah.
You know, especially remembering 365 or 366. So I always say, if you're a visual person, because you have this smartphone, take a picture every day that's like your picture of the week, and then what you can, or picture of the day, rather, and then don't look at it until the end of the month and see how many you can remember.
Wow.
And maybe you can bring 3 forward every single month.
So don't look for necessarily an Ansel Adams moment, something that could be a mnemonic sort of...
Like right now, today would be my picture of the day.
It would be us.
You guys were the first people I ever saw stand at a radio
microphone
station.
That's something I've done all the time.
I'm taking my picture of the day right now.
I definitely need her advice because you would be really sad at my memory. Like, we've met people and we joke about it, but like, people will have been in the studio on that microphone. I've stood next to them and taken a picture, and I don't remember meeting them.
Yeah. Well, it's like tissue paper. You know what I mean? It's like Kleenex. It goes through you. But here's the thing. Because everybody has something, I always say everybody has something that they remember especially well. It's what I call their primary track.
Right.
It's like in the jigsaw puzzle of your life, what are the hard edge pieces by which you can interlock the other pieces to? So you probably have something that you remember. And a lot of times it's places you've lived, places you've worked.
Right.
Sports is huge.
Right.
A guy will forget his wife's birthday or anniversary, but he'll remember a game. You know, I've heard food. Hair, clothes. I've even heard bats, you know, like bats.
Sure.
Worked with somebody who loved bats. So we went down to Bracken Cave in San Antonio. And this guy, memories came flooding back
because
he was around bats.
Smell, the olfactory senses apparently are
very
really
strong.
Informative. Do you find that with you as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is there anything you're inclined to or will forget from time to time? Is there a particular memory that you have difficulty with?
not so much a memory, but people always say to my boys, does mom ever forget her keys? Or they say, oh my gosh, mom will be like, where's the keys? Where? And then she'll like stop and she'll like scroll and I go back into the montage. And it's like, oh, right. They're on the bathroom floor because I had to go so badly when I came in. That's right. Throw them.
All right. I don't know if this ties in with your abilities or not, but do you ever walk into a room and go, now, why did I come in here? Because that happens to me all the time.
Oh, well.
I would guess that's a no.
So I
opened, she says no, yes.
I opened a cupboard the other day. My mom lives with us, and so I opened a cupboard to grab Advil.
Uh-huh.
And so I opened the left cupboard door, and Advil wasn't there, and I immediately forgot why I opened the cupboard door. But I specifically opened it to grab the ibuprofen, and it wasn't there. I was like, why did I even open this door? And I stood there for a second.
It's starting young.
Yeah, oh, I know. And then I opened the other door, and it was on the other side. And I was like, that's why. That's exactly why.
It's so funny, because thinking about your birthday, I'm remembering that I saw Jaws, like, 2 weeks before, because Jaws had just opened. You know, it's like that whole time in my life will come flooding back.
I remember the premiere of Jaws, which, by the way, is kind of acknowledged as the first summer blockbuster.
Right. I saw June 21st.
Yeah, big movies used to be released around Christmas time, and then summer became the thing. I do have those moments where I'm incredibly lucid, but I have a mind for insignificant. Like I don't think in a linear way, you know. And I you probably are more able. I mean, for line retention as an actress. What better gift could you possibly have?
Right, absolutely. But it's like I was saying before, that's sort of two-dimensional, so it's a little different. But I also believe that that memories come to us four different ways: horizontally, vertically, mushroomingly, or sporadically. And you obviously, if you go deep or if you spore out to different memories.
That's
it.
I think, because I've been, I guess, if ADD is still the way it's referred to as, that's what I've been told I have.
Yeah, so you spore all over the place.
Right.
Explain the mushroom.
Oh, the mushrooming is like if I said to you, hey, Preston, how was that wedding you went to the other day? And you said, oh, man, I met a guy at the wedding. It was so fantastic. And we had lunch like 2 weeks later. That's a memory that came out of that event.
Okay.
Whereas a spore person would be like, hey, how was that wedding you went to? And you said, oh my gosh, there was somebody there who looked so much like that jerk I used to work with who used to take credit. You've spored to something that had nothing to do with the wedding.
That's fascinating.
You've mushroomed.
Yeah. You know? And the mind is, again.
It's so fascinating.
Obviously, there's part of the show that deals with that, but there's also, again, which we started with, you're like a nexus of pop culture, amazing stuff. You were on Cannonball Run 2.
Cannonball Run 2. Oh, my gosh.
With the Rat Pack, basically.
The Rat Pack and Shirley MacLaine, who is like taking a bright child to a wedding. She's like the wildest person. She was always jumping on the guys. But it was so hot because we were in Tucson in July. It was 117 degrees. Oof. So our makeup call was like 2 o'clock in the morning because we had to pull the plug by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we were driving way the hell out in the desert. And so the whole afternoon was spent at the pool. But it was with Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. And you know, Frank Sinatra was there. Well, you know, as a little girl who grew up in Chicago, I mean, these were like idols, you know, and Shirley too, because she's quite a bit older. And it was like, I can't believe I'm getting to do this. And it's all because of Burt Reynolds,
who you evening
five Shane, times I worked
five,
with him.
Yes, yeah.
The never man had who an affair women. With him. Yeah.
Did you come close to having
I think our timing was always off, but I think that's why we got to work together so often, because I was never like a past girlfriend that the new girlfriend would, you know. I adored him.
I mean,
we got along so well, had great chemistry. The first day we worked together.
Go ahead.
First day we worked together was March 8th, 1983. It was a Tuesday. And so I didn't know if I could throw another date.
Go ahead. We love it. I love it. No reason to be embarrassed by your gift.
It's so much fun. I do it in the show, too. But anyway, he called me that night and offered me two jobs. Offered me Cannonball Run 2 and a job at the Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater. So I did, they're playing our
song
there.
Was this Jupiter, Florida that you said?
Yeah. What a great place.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And again, though, all those encounters, nobody remembers those Hal Needham movies. Could you even do something like that these days with
so many
50,
people.
60?
Oh, my God. We had the entire, like, Godfather cast there. You know, Alex Rocco, all of them.
Yeah.
We had everybody. Jack Elam was on it. Tony Danza was there. Jackie Chan.
Was it hard to stay focused with all that kind of stuff going on?
Well, the schedule was really good. I mean, Shirley Dom DeLuise, Bert, and I were like almost we were on it every day, and everybody else would sort of pop in and out. But there was one time when there were 23, trailers.
Yeah.
High Hollywood trailers in the desert. It looked like a wagon train.
God almighty.
It was so crazy.
That's crazy. I mean,
you couldn't afford to do something like that.
So
no.
I do, and again, I told you, I mentioned the Aurora Tea Garden mysteries and all that stuff, which I think are a lot of fun. They're on Hallmark. They're at Candace Cameron Bure,
I love her so much.
Yeah.
We quarantined four times together during the pandemic. I shot six movies in Vancouver, so they'd make us go there and do 2-week quarantines.
Mary Lou, are you amazed of some of the people that you find out that love those shows?
Yes and no.
I have to give you an example. My father-in-law, never in your wildest dreams would you ever think that this man would like shows that are on Hallmark Channel. And he's all in on all of them.
I am too.
So great,
I'm like,
Christmas movies.
I freaking love them.
It's so, because you know it's going to be like a happy ending. And also, okay, I'll give you a little secret.
Yeah.
In the murder mysteries, in only 5 times during the script is there a murder or kill, the words murder or kill.
Right.
So when you read the script, you go, hey, I got one of the murders. Hey, I got one of the kills. You never see red blood. You only see dried blood on a weapon. You see legs, but you don't see anyone really being killed.
No, right.
I can watch them with my 6-and-a-half-year-old niece, and she loves them, too. And they're clever. They're really clever.
You know, it's
clever.
Like, I say this to people who don't understand why I dig them so much. It's like Columbo used to be very, it's the fun of the chase.
The fun of the chase.
It's like playing the game Clue.
Absolutely. And Charlaine Harris is incredible. I mean, she, you know, True Blood and everything. So she wrote really great books that then we based the series on.
So my mom watches murder mysteries, but they're all on like PBS, and it's like Dr. Blake and Father Brown. And it's so she loves these, you know, the thrill of the chase,
right,
everything. But
the
like,
clergy solving.
But she doesn't want the blood and the gore and all that.
Right. So you
I should recommend
this
to you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Only dried blood.
Okay.
You never see a dead
only
body.
Only dry blood.
You don't ever see
That's
a dead
so
body
funny.
Except maybe a hand or a foot.
I
you
love
don't see
that.
Anyone getting killed.
That's great.
And they're clever. That you have to like figure. I'm always surprised at who the killer is.
They're great. And the fun is just experiencing the whole investigation and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Of all the things that you've done so much. What is the one thing that really, for lack of a better term, nurtures your soul the most in the realm of entertainment? Because you do so many things. What do you love the most?
I'm really a person who's in present time, so I love what I'm doing in the moment. Like I'd have to say, if I had to pick between film and stage, I'd probably pick stage because it's my first love. I love the instant feedback. I feel very comfortable on stage. I have a good time. But I also love writing. I mean, it's scary and it's painful, but there's something
you're out there. That's you entirely on the page.
Yeah. I would imagine with the stage, and it's also when you're working with a group of people and you guys do something live and it is done and finished with, it's got to be different than when you have cameras rolling and you're stopping, you're doing take after take. And then, guys, we did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of
But I'll tell you, one of the things I love about doing a sitcom, and I do another good one in a second, is that it's like a finely crafted little piece of theater but that you perform in front of an audience, but then it's recorded for all times.
Okay.
You know that during this pandemic, the Taxi guys and I have done 10 Zooms, because we did the first one for James Wesley and Seth Rudetsky, the first stars in the house that used cast.
Right.
So we went on March 30th of 2020, and we liked it so much, we said, hey, let's do this in a couple weeks for Jim Brooks' birthday. Hey, let's do it in a couple weeks when it's the anniversary of our first read-through.
Awesome.
We've done 10.
Wow.
And then last week, man. Tony Danza and I, he came to my show at 54 Below, but he came, we drove up to the Berkshires to see Christopher Lloyd as King Lear. So we did that as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Some of the guys are coming to the Bucks County, but I'm not allowed to say when.
All right. Well, we have to ask you, because we have sort of had experiences now because we're friends with the It's Always Sunny crew.
Oh,
and Danny DeVito. Give us your best Danny DeVito story from the Taxi set, because we understand he was especially crazy then.
Oh, but he was like the Yoda of the group. He was a total character. First of all, do you know the story of how he got the job?
Mm-mm.
Okay, he was down to his last unemployment check and the last $10 in his pocket and the last sort of decent shirt that he got. He read the script and he thought, I could do this part. Now, the part of Louis De Palma was only supposed to be 7 out of 13, so they didn't care who played the part.
Right.
But his agent said, I want you to come in there. So Danny walks in, and I'm going to grab this. And he walks in. He walks in and he says, all right, before we begin, I've got one question. Who wrote this?
Crap.
Who wrote this? And he said his hands were shaking, but he thought just he'd go for it. And on the spot, they offered him
the job.
Jim Brooks said, that's our Louie. And then he became the most iconic person. You could have kept Taxi on forever as long as you had Louie. Because the first time he came out of the cage, the show was shot.
The cage, yeah. Because he was in the cage.
He was a dispatcher, uh-huh.
He came out of the cage. Rigger, you know, to Judd's character, Alex Rigger. Rigger. And he walked down those stairs, and you saw Judd, who's like 6'1", and Danny, who's 4'10", but is just a beast. I mean, he's incredible. We have this expression in my family called PF, and it's like measures the sexual quotient of something. And I'll tell you when we're off the air what the P stands for.
All right.
But it's PF. It's a shortcut. Danny had the most PF of all those guys.
Really?
So sexy. Danny's unbelievable.
It's funny because when he's we've been in a number of situations, a number of like events with Danny, and he's always standing next to Kathy.
I'm sure.
At one point we were in a golf cart together, and he was stroking my hair.
I'm sure.
Caitlin Olsen was like, "What are you doing to her? Stop doing that."
He gets away with so much too.
He does.
But he is he's so delicious. I love him so much.
Oh my
God. favorite Taxi episode was called Shut It Down Parts 1 and 2. And we were shooting it right before Christmas, and they hated to lose anything. So we'd do a read through on Monday and Tuesday they'd be like fashioning it, and by Wednesday we had this tight little script. They saw the run through on Tuesday and they went, we don't want to cut anything.
Right.
In fact, we want to expand it. So they said, well, it's Mary Lou and Danny, and they're always really buttoned up. So let's make it a bigger thing.
What was the episode about?
It was called, Cabbies Go on Strike.
Oh, yeah.
And I become shop steward, and I have to negotiate with him what we're going to do and to negotiate for the new contract. So he and I do a walk in the garage that is so damn funny. And I'm saying like, he wants a date with me. So I say, it's lunch. We sit at separate tables. I bring a friend, this and that. He goes, all right. It's dinner. I pick you up. We sit together, and he goes through this whole list of things. And he says, and at one point during the course of the evening, at least in front of two or three people, you must call me Stallion. Right? So I said, no. I said, and he said, and none of this is negotiable. And I say, except Stallion. He goes, especially Stallion. Right? So that little walk across is like my favorite thing.
Okay.
He made me laugh so much. I had to wear painful shoes to bed the night before because I knew he was going to make me laugh. But anyway, I go on this date with him, and it's so much fun. Every time I did a scene with Danny, he's such a brilliant actor, and he made that character just come to life. I couldn't be a bigger fan.
We're watching. Yeah,
so see the video of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, that's one of the greatest ensembles of all time.
Yeah. Complete. Yeah. And everybody's still working. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I do a tribute to Taxi because there was a song I was supposed to sing for the guys, and then it was cut out of the show because the show was too long.
Is it in your show?
And it's in my show, and I show a montage of all the best moments of Taxi. And
that's
so
great.
Funny.
Excellent.
It's really great.
Well, listen, the show, just to remind people, is it opens this Thursday, and it is going through the 15th.
Yes.
Okay, so get yourself some tickets, go, and you never know who might be in the audience.
Yeah, because I also have guest stars coming up to sing and get interviewed.
Oh, all right. Really so fun. Bucks County Playhouse Theater, bcptheater.org,
which is great.
Lou, or you can just go to the Bucks County Theater. Yeah, there, it's a wonderful
Bucks
place.
County Playhouse.
So many great. It's so beautiful. Awesome. It's like magical there. Beautiful city.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's been through that. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, Mary Lou, what a treat. It's always
thank
great
you.
To have you.
Oh,
and thank
I love
you so
you
much.
Guys.
We miss you.
I miss you, too.
And we're psyched you're going to be here for a while. I got to get out and see this show.
Yes,
you. Let me know when you're going to come.
Absolutely.
So that we can hang out.
You
can have one of the drinks.
I'm on it, man. The Mary Lou Henner Show. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you.
Mary Lou Henner. Yay!
And vote for them.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
HD. It ain't just for your TV anymore. Use your HD radio to hear the best-sounding MMR there is. Plus, enjoy MMR HD 2, the MM Archives channel. Everything that rocks never sounded so good.
All right, I got some more stories to share in the B-File. Let's go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I probably should have done this one earlier, but I'm going to hit this now. A single Japanese man almost died from spanking it too much.
Oh. Hey, we've all been there.
We've all been there. A doctor, is this going to kill me? I think I almost died on that one.
Till I need glasses.
A doctor claimed that the 51-year-old, who they didn't identify, enjoyed pleasuring himself several times a day.
I think I got to go one more time.
But his habit nearly killed him.
Just one more time.
You got one more in.
I got one more.
But his habit nearly killed him on one occasion last year after he suffered a stroke just moments after finishing. The NHS says the stroke the man suffered can be triggered by having sex, coughing, and even going to the bathroom.
Wow.
The man was instantly struck down with agonizing thunderclap headaches after he climaxed, and he later began vomiting. Concerned about his sudden symptoms, he took himself to the hospital. Doctors noticed that he had low blood pressure and was disoriented.
This guy's on his game.
Which are two telltale signs of a stroke. Medics carry out a CAT scan on his brain to find the root cause of his symptoms.
Have you ever done it so solidly that you caused yourself a stroke?
No.
I mean, that's when you know that's like, you know, when you're in the zone.
Yeah. All my stroking took place beforehand. Results revealed...
That's like, what do they call it? Draft racing or drifting behind
drifting. Yeah. Results revealed that he had endured a subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Okay, so spiders.
A life-threatening type of stroke that was caused by blood vessel in his brain rupturing.
Wow.
The man survived his ordeal and was discharged. There's so many words here. Discharge. after nearly 2 weeks in the hospital in an excellent condition. Dr. Masahiro...
Dad, can I talk to you for a minute?
Oh, Jesus. No. Dr. Masahiro Umura and colleagues who published the case offered no explanation as to why he may have suffered a stroke from pleasuring himself, but the NHS says the brain bleed can happen as a result of physical exertion.
I give it to you, he was a pound in the pagoda.
Such as lifting something heavy or having sex.
Wow.
Sexual activity of various kinds has been linked to between 3.8% and 14% of all subarachnoid hemorrhage cases.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, actually, Blues Traveler.
John Popper.
Popper had a similar situation.
Yeah, a heart attack.
Heart attack, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Chinese media recently reported the case of a 14-year-old boy who shocked police when he accused his father of illegal child labor because he had been forced to do chores around the house. Yeah,
this is my daughter. I didn't even think of that as really? She gives you that?
Well, not really, but...
She's unionizing?
Chores, you may as well think that we're trying to enforce slave labor. Sick of seeing his son with his hands and eyes glued to his phone and ignoring his homework and studies, a parent decided to give the boy a taste of life's hardships and asked him to put down the handheld and do some housework. Angry with his father for making him take a break from his phone, a reportedly smartphone-addicted teenager snuck out of the house when his father wasn't paying attention, went straight to the police station, and there he proceeded to accuse his father of illegal child labor.
Mm-hmm.
The officers on duty didn't really understand what was going on when the 14-year-old boy made his accusation, so he accompanied the boy to the home to get a better understanding of the situation. When he told the boy's father what his son had accused him of, the flabbergasted parent proceeded to explain what had happened, and he simply took the boy's phone away and made him do house chores. Under Chinese law, housework does not constitute child labor. So the parent was in the clear, but the officer tried to find out how the boy could report his father for something that could have landed him behind bars. After getting no answer from the teenager, the policeman advised his father to discipline him, adding that taking his smartphone away for what seemed like seemed like a good idea. To that, the boy replied, "Do you really think I only have that mobile phone? That's so naive of you." He said that to the cop.
To the cop?
Yeah.
And the cop says, here's my taser.
Yeah, ever happened that I know of after that.
Tase the little bastard.
He felt it was child labor. Carol Taylor may be 83, but she now has a fifth-degree black belt in karate,
wow,
an honor that she actually received from Chuck Norris himself.
Wow.
The Utah woman's passion for martial arts began 15 years ago at the age of 68 when she started taking her 11-year-old granddaughter to lessons. She said, "I thought, wow, this is mental and physical. This would be a good thing for someone my age to do. So I asked the teacher if it would be all right if I joined classes, and so that's why I did it."
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandma.
Taylor learned karate alongside her granddaughter. She said, "We both got our first degree black belts at about the same time." And she said that on Saturday, the granddaughter was there to watch Taylor show off her skills in front of dozens at Chuck Norris's annual United Fighting Arts Federation International Training Convention. For her demonstration, Taylor chose to show forms of karate, including traditional hand techniques, stances, footwork, targeting, focusing, and power. She performed to the Beach Boys song Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Because that's where she grew up. Taylor fooled the crowd by using her bow as a cane to hobble onto the center of the mat, prompting laughter and smiles from Norris and the rest of the crowd.
Like Willy Wonka.
She then straightened her back exactly and began a display of powerful stances and fierce facial expressions. Taylor received a standing ovation from Norris and many in attendance afterwards. Norris awarded her a fifth-degree black belt, an accomplishment that takes years to reach in the Chuck Norris system.
Sadly, later she broke her hip while flushing the toilet.
All right, one last story, and then we will wrap it up. The owners of a Montreal barbershop that had its glass door broken by a couple in the throes of passion want to find the pair to make sure that they weren't injured and to offer and to treat them to a night at a hotel. Mike Rose and Dave Lechasseur, co-owners of Savvy Barbershop, would like to identify the couple who smashed through the shop's glass door as they were making out early Monday morning.
Could you imagine that?
Lechasseur said, it's just to go full circle to see if everybody's fine. Nobody got hurt. How did they actually end for them? Or how did it end for them? I just want to see. The shop's owner said that they're even willing to pay for a night stay at a hotel so if they come forward and identify themselves. The video has racked up thousands of views on social media, shows the couple embracing as they back into the store's glass front and fall through it. They initially thought that a robber had hit them, but they saw the video and they were just making out. So there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll test and see if you've been paying attention. We have a lesson question, trash, and music news. That's coming up next. Stay put with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have finished up today's traffic reports, and now we need to do a lesson question. Did anybody keep a lesson question? Nick normally does it.
You know
He's
what?
Not here. Yeah. I completely forgot about it.
And when Nick's not here,
all the favors, right? Yeah.
So what happens is Marissa would step in,
yeah,
and she's not here. So I think you could ask. Oh. One that's pretty obvious.
Okay.
What about what type of hug did Mary Lou Henner give you?
Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Mary Lou Henner performed a sex act on me today.
Yes. What was that sex act?
A pseudo sex act.
I had the same too. She did.
It was nice, wasn't it? Nice. Yeah. All right. 215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. We just had Mary Lou Henner and she did a pseudo sex act on us. It was pretty funny. It was when we were off air, but we relayed the story afterwards. 215-263-WMMR. While you call in, we will do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get some stories from Mr. Steve Morrison.
Well, thank you, Preston. R. Kelly is facing new allegations in a criminal case out of Chicago in which the singer is accused of inappropriately touching a male minor. Kelly says it's all a misunderstanding unless you believe he's a disgusting pervert, and then you're spot on. The San Diego Zoo reporting that a snow leopard has tested positive for COVID. As a precaution, the zoo is issuing a mask mandate for all the animals with an exception for the toucan. And finally, after months of indecision, John Mulaney finally filed for divorce from his wife, Anna Tendler, in a New York court on Friday. Mulaney has thought long and hard about this decision, even going so far as to consult with his girlfriend, Olivia Munn. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, so we're going to see if we can get an answer to the lesson question. What was the sexual thing that happened earlier this morning with Mary Lou Henner? We will go now. Hang on a second. I have Keegan on the line. Keegan, are you there?
Cuckoo, ka-choo.
Yes,
cuckoo, ka-choo.
Keegan, did you call earlier this morning?
I did.
Did you win a prize?
I declined the prize.
You declined the prize?
Wow.
I'm not a Star Trek guy.
Oh.
Oh, we gave... Oh, you know what?
Wait, what?
Yeah, so he called in for the stupid question. He got it right.
He declined the prize?
I, we need a ruling
yes.
on this.
Connor says yes, he declined the prize.
He
He's not a Star Trek guy.
Then I can let him answer.
Connor,
he's good about getting through the phone lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Keegan, what was the sexual act that was performed between Mary Lou Henner and me and Steve?
It was a dry hump.
Yes, you're correct. Because I see that name, Keegan, I'm like, man.
That's a little too
but
unique.
If you didn't take the prize, you can only win one prize per month, I think is the way it works. So
that's how you get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we are going to give him a Blu-ray copy. I didn't even say what the prize was. I hope he likes A Quiet Place 2.
Oh!
Which is out now, starring Emily Blunt. Available now, 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray and digital, or you can get the... two movie collection available exclusively on Blu-ray and digital, rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures. So there you go, man. All right, let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Smash!
God. Situation. All right, I got some stories for you. We'll begin with this. Stone Temple Pilots have released a new music video for their classic track, And So I Know, in celebration of Friday's release of the Super Deluxe Edition of Tiny Music Songs from the Vatican Gift Shop. And the new video features unseen Hi-8 video footage filmed by the band themselves during the album's recording session at a ranch house in California's Santa Ynez Valley.
Have both you been to the Vatican?
I've never been.
Oh, Kathy,
you've
been. You been.
Uh-huh.
Have you been to the gift shop? Is there a gift shop?
Was there a gift shop? I went to, so like on the outskirts of the Vatican, there's tons. And you know what? I think there is an official Vatican gift shop. And yes, I did go in it.
All right. I just wondered if that was a conceit for the song or the album.
Yeah, I don't really know what the...
outskirts, like the whole outskirts of it, there are shops all over
the place. Sure, yeah.
And they all sell rosary beads and, all kinds of Vatican...
Pope bobbleheads and things like that.
Everything.
Yeah. Casey has a Pope bobblehead sitting right here in front of
him. Oh, my gosh, yes. I forgot about that one.
You forgot about that?
Yeah, because I have a beautiful picture of Kathy's husband on top of my other screen.
You still have it?
Yeah. He's got both of them right next to each other. All right, an exclusive feature of the Super Deluxe Edition is a previously unreleased live recording in the band's March 14th, 1997 concert in Panama City Beach, Florida. By the way, at the end of this, we have two announcements.
Yes, two.
So I want to make sure that you are aware of that.
Tapers alert.
One of them will have some giveaways. During their concert at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas this past weekend, Green Day covered Kiss's Rock and Roll All Night. We have a clip we're going to play of this. Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons shared footage of Green Day's performance. Paul Stanley wrote, "Tonight in Dallas, another reason to love Green Day." And Gene said, "Green Day in Houston yesterday. Thank you, gentlemen."
It's like chicken on a warm summer's night.
That's right. And here's a little clip of it. Somebody's phone, obviously. Wow, it's like being there. That's cool of them to do that. That is a fun song.
You still have tickets, right?
I put in to buy the tickets. A friend through, Live Nation.
Live Nation.
Which is a perk of the business.
Right.
A privilege. And never got a follow through on it.
Oh.
So I was going to have them, but then they canceled and blah, blah, blah.
Are you going to go on this?
I have to check when that's next year, right?
In I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. Why not? It's going to be a great lineup, so I definitely might consider that.
Cuckoo, ka-choo.
Yes. Dave Mustaine disclosed the official title of the next Megadeth album while talking with a fan online. In the video posted by the fan, you could hear new music playing in the background, and he said, "Look over my shoulder." He said, "There's the Pro Tools rig with the new album, doing a rough mix, and you're getting to hear a little bit of it in the background for your birthday." He said, the title track is Sick
Thick.
The dying and the dead.
The thick, the dying and the dead.
Yes.
I can't be with you late at night. The one for Megadeth. It's called The Thick, the Dying and the Dead.
He's an overnight jock?
Absolutely.
Wow. Earlier this year.
Sunset to sunrise.
Mustaine mentioned it as a tentative title in the hopes that it would be released sometime this year. Korn's Jonathan Davis. See if we have a clip of this, Casey.
Korn's
Jonathan Davis has recorded his own version of the Pet Shop Boys' It's a Sin.
It's a Sin.
For the upcoming TV series Paradise City.
Paradise City.
I love this song. I haven't heard this version of it yet. Davis has long had an interest in cover songs. For years, the band has talked about doing such an album, but they have yet to produce one.
I love the Pet Shop Boys.
I do, too. The TV series is a spinoff of the film American Satan from 2017.
Sick.
And will feature several rock band covers. Among those announced, Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker covering Smashing Pumpkins' Disarm. Let's play a little bit of It's a Sin.
For everything I long to do, no matter when or where or who, has one thing in common too.
Of course, he's going to make it kind of trippy and moody.
It's somber.
It's a sin. It's a sin.
Okay, I don't like that.
A little dirge-ish. Yeah,
that's a bit much.
Okay, so real quick, I know the Pet Shop Boys, but I can't tell you a song off the top of my head that they do.
With Opportunities is probably their biggest song.
Okay.
I've got the brains.
That's it.
You
okay.
You have the brawn. Let's make lots of money. It's called Opportunities.
So, because my mom was asking whether or not that song, because it's used in a commercial.
And also West End Girls.
What Have I Done to Deserve This?
Great song.
West End Girls is another huge
West
one.
West End Girls.
Yeah.
East End Boys, West End. Wait, West End Girls, Dead End World. East End Boys, West End Girls.
West End Girls.
Yeah, so they had a few really cool tunes. What Have I Done to Deserve This? Yeah, that's a great one. And they did a really cool song with Dusty Springfield.
I love it.
Since you've been away, I've been wandering around.
What have I?
Is that What Have I Done to Deserve This?
Yeah, that's it.
She sings a refrain in it.
Yep.
So, good band. Like many of the covers
coming at you
on the soundtrack. By the way, that's the worst thing a DJ can say is coming at you. I just had such a cringed in Good Morning Vietnam because Robin Williams would say, come in at you.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
There's something you can get with your stimmy check.
Like many of the covers in the soundtrack, the Davis version of It's a Sin provides a more haunting tone than
the original.
It does.
I'm not sure I'm a fan.
It's a Sin was released back in 1987 as the lead single from Pet Shop Boys. Actually, their version had a danceable pop beat to it. All right, and then we are ready for a couple of announcements. I'm going to start with a musical announcement and then non-musical announcement. Okay. This concert is headed to town for three shows. Wednesday, October 27th, Friday the 29th, and Saturday the 30th. And this will be at the Met Philadelphia. MMR is excited to announce to you Steely Dan.
Yay!
So three shows, and they're going to be featuring a different album each night. Wednesday, the 27th of October, will be Asia, the classic.
I love it.
It's a double album. It's huge. It's loaded. Isn't it a double?
No, it's a single.
Is it a single?
Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
You're probably thinking of double live album, Asia.
Okay. Was she a singer?
No, she was a dancer.
Okay.
On the 29th will be The Royal Scam.
Great album.
And this song is on there, right?
Yes, this kicks it all off.
It's a great song. And then on Saturday, the 30th of October, will be selected hits from an album called Northeast Corridor, which I believe is a live album, you were saying?
It is a live album. It is basically a greatest hits live album.
Nice.
It's got Hey 19, Peg, Kid Charlemagne, Bodhisattva, all of them.
You can listen to Jackie Bam Bam all this week. He'll have your tickets and complete details available at WMMR.com, including another chance to win for MMR VIPs.
So Steely Dan came through the Met a couple of years ago, and they did something very similar where each night was an album. And then, you know,
yeah,
more songs in addition to that.
Right, right.
But I loved it because... Everybody was sitting down the entire time. I'd like.
It's really what happens.
Yeah.
They sort of take the stuff, and I enjoy. I was one time I got to do front row.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at the Music Box at the Borgata.
Oh, nice!
And man, it was great because you're seeing some like top level musicians up close.
At one point, Donald Fagen had left the stage, and I'm fairly certain he had to take a piss or something because yeah. He left the stage and then the band was just kind of like...
He was still wearing his remote.
It's like Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. Hall of Fame nominated. Right, Kev?
Yeah.
Turn your mic off.
All right, one last announcement, and it's has nothing to do with music news, so I'm turning off the stupid teletype thing that we use. All right, this show is going to be Wednesday, November 24th at the Wells Fargo Center. MMR, happy to bring to you Sebastian Maniscalco. It is the Nobody Does This tour, and tickets will go on sale this Friday. By the way, I didn't say when the tickets go on. Yeah, shut up, Preston.
Okay.
Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. for both Steely Dan and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, so both of them.
Completely different shows. I didn't know if I'd mentioned the on sale date of the Steely Dan show. So anyhow... yes, pre-sale and complete details at WMMR.com, including an extra chance to win for MMR VIPs. Be sure that you are opted in for the MMR VIP emails to qualify.
Do you know Sebastian is very good, and he's in the Green Book?
Yes.
Yeah. He is really good.
He plays his buddy.
Yep.
Or his cousin, family member.
Right.
He was great in that.
He's very good.
In fact, I had to kind of stop and go, is that him?
Yeah.
And sure enough, yeah. He's a solid actor. All right, and guess what? We have some tickets. So I will give away a pair of tickets to caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and give us a call right now, and we will set you up with that. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, get ready to wrap the show up. The letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize is when we return, and let's get you started with that properly because we've got five letters this week. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Imagine a world without cancer. Help make it a reality. Join me and Team WMMR on Sunday, September 19th for the 49th annual American Cancer Society Bikeathon. We'll start by crossing the Ben Franklin Bridge, and there are multiple starting points in New Jersey. Each Team WMMR rider gets an official team t-shirt. Registration and complete details at WMMR.com.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
I don't know about you guys, but I've had a lot of fun today.
It was a lot of fun. We said last week that the women were the dead weight, but it turns out it's, it's actually Marissa and Nick. And it's Kathy was the one we were missing.
You were missing, yeah. That makes sense.
I would like to thank our very lovely guest, Mary Lou Henner.
Yay! She's fantastic.
How do you not love her? She's so awesome, and what a talent in many ways.
I'm going to go see the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
She'll be at the Bucks County Playhouse. The all-new club act is called The Mary Lou Henner Show, and it starts on the 29th, goes through the 15th of August, and you can get details and tickets at buckscountyplayhouse.org, or you can go to WMMR.com and get the information, too. I would like to thank Bill Weston and Joe Bell for coming by this morning, and they give us this really cool award from the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters. For the Camp Out for Hunger station event. And then they broke the news that we, the Preston and Steve radio show, have been nominated to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. It is the actual Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Right.
and their Hall of Fame. And they have nominated us for the Spoken Word On Air Personality category.
We speak words.
We do. We speak them. And listeners can vote for this. You get a say in this. There are judges, but they are taking a vote, kind of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does.
Right.
And you can now vote for us if you feel like you would like to do something like that. So you can go to WMMR.com. If you don't see it there on the front page, you can use the keyword hall for the information. And if you've liked what you've heard over the years, if we've entertained you, then you can vote for us.
Whatever you do.
Whatever you do.
We are thrilled to have you in whatever way. And
long as you listen, we're happy.
That's happy. Yes, that's a case. It's very happy. But yep. I was lonely seeing on social media press, a lot of people already voting, which we can't thank you enough for.
Cool. Thanks
very
so much.
Cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Cool. Nice. How you doing?
Coming at you.
Listen, I'm sure I've said it before. Coming at you.
I've said a lot of really bad and dumb things and repetitive things. I don't know that I've said that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Kind of happy?
Hackneyed.
Oh, hackneyed.
Yes.
I am feeling good, and I hope you are, too.
Okay, maybe I did say come on. Maybe I did.
I don't know.
Coming at you right now is the letter of the day, though, right?
Yes.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
F as in flyboy.
All right. And we have a Pizeek round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. And Landis Block, you can start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. So we give that away on Friday. We got a full work week ahead of us this week. You got some good stuff coming up, man?
Lots of good stuff. We have tickets for Hoagie Nation coming up this weekend at the Skyline Stage with Hall & Oates.
I've been to it a couple times. It's a blast. Yeah, Hall & Oates can drive the whole thing, but they always bring in a whole bunch of other artists that are awesome as well.
Well, it's going to be at the Man, and it's going to be cool, you know, just being there. Cool and the Gang, speaking of cool. Wailers will be there. Craig Robinson and the Nasty Delicious Soul Survivors. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll have that to give away. And also, I have Rise Against tickets. They'll play Sunday at the Man on the Skyline Stage, and that's cool. And Workforce Blocks, which may not get further than one artist for the singer's birthday.
Yeah, we kind of predicted how this would break today.
Well, there I have other blocks planned, but I don't know that I'll do anything more than the Rolling Stones.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just a wealth of great music.
When elected king or queen, I will declare it a national holiday.
Ah, very nice.
He's not a national.
I'll back you up on that.
Thank you.
But there is, he can be a holiday.
He could be a holiday. Yeah, could be a holiday.
All right, we have got to wrap it up. So let's thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, and thank you to Kathy for bringing in some Dunkin' coffee this morning.
Yes.
Because
we were out.
Coffee. Wilmington University, ready to make a move? WilmU works online or in person. You can learn more at wilmu.edu. And also brought to you by Sunoco. They know how to fuel peak performance. Fuel your best. Tomorrow, a Tuesday morning, we'll give away a tattoo, and we'll have our very good friend Kevin Smith on the show. Always a wonderful interview.
He has his Masters of the Universe series has premiered, and everyone's loving it.
That is correct. All right, that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.